I like it when you lose. I like it when you go there. I like the way you use it. I like that you don't play fair. Yeah. Recipe for disaster. When I'm just trying to sing my best. Yeah. Stroke is getting deep and faster. Screaming like I'm out of line. Who came to make sweet love? Not me. Who came to kiss and love? Not me. Who came to beat it up? Rocky. And don't use those hands to put up that gate and stop me. When we touch. When we touch. Can we touch? I can be aggressive. I can be a savage. I just need your blessing. Say that I can have it. Can we touch? When we touch? You love it when I lose. You love it when I go there. You love the way I use it. You love it, I don't play fair. You end up calling me master. Say this universe is mine. Yeah. When we're done, it's a disaster. Yeah, end up like this every time. Who came to make sweet love? Not me. Who came to kiss and love? Not me. Who came to beat it up? Rocky. And don't use those hands to put up that gate and stop me. When we touch. When we touch. When we touch. When we touch. I'll go be aggressive. I can be a savage. I just need your blessing. Say that I can have it. When we touch. When we touch. Face down, so back it up. Let me get both of them legs. Put them both behind your. Deep up in there. Your legs getting weak up in there. Yeah, face full of that. Yeah, I'm close, baby, don't push me. This is how it always should be. When we touch. When we touch. When we touch. When we touch. I can be a savage. I just need your blessing. Say that I can have it. When we touch. When we touch.
Yes. Thank you, Tank. Win me. Yes. Yes, tonight we are going to talk about a different topic. Yes, this is an adult conversation, so little children, turn off your iPads and don't listen to me tonight. Entryways, sex, is the most common method via which demons are spiritually transmitted from one person to another. Theories about association between demons and sex are deep-rooted in both Jewish and Christian traditions. Demons usually intrude into the lives of those people who yield to lust and bodily desires for the sake of transient pleasure. You like that, huh? What are we talking about? STD, sexually transmitted demons. That's what I said, sexually transmitted demons. This evening, Tuesday, October 4th, 2022, on Miss Inez Says, let's talk about it. The topic is STD, sexually transmitted demons. We're going to talk about sex as the most common method via which demons are spiritually transmitted from one person to another. You thought STDs were sexually transmitted diseases. Well, listen up here, y'all. We're bad, and some hard to get rid of. Join us tonight, and let's talk about it. STDs, sexually transmitted demons. Worldwide listeners, I am your hostess for the evening, Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of Anais.cool Design. So please call in to 845-241-9985 and let's talk about it. This interesting topic. Yes, 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 yes. We do have some of our favorite people on the line. We want to welcome Miss Key out of Jacksonville, Florida. And we have our favorite Reverend of the evening, Reverend Ron Marshall. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, 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 everyone.
And good
unless
evening.
You
good
are
evening.
Speaking, please, thank you, thank you, thank you. Please put your microphone on mute if you are not speaking. Hey, Key, how are you?
I'm well, how are you? Hi, Reverend Ron.
Oh, good.
Hello, Key, how's it going?
Well, it's going. Intensity to start.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, condoms. I'm good. I, you know, this is an interesting topic. I know y'all. Oh, I know this is going to be, as Reverend would say, that's heavy. That's deep. That's real deep. That's heavy. So I hope you are all ready for this ride. So condoms will protect you from sexually transmitted demons. Sex is not for fun. Sex is a spiritual bond, a soul tie. How many men and women's souls do you have inside of you? Every person you sleep with leaves a part of themselves with you. Some of us think sex is for fun, but you don't know that sex out of marriage is the greatest covenant you could ever think of. Sexually transmitted demons are not something to play with, and some are harder to get rid of than diseases. Soul ties are more powerful than you think. The right mate for you will prey, P-R-A-Y, on your soul, not P-R-E-Y on it. Mm-hmm. Women, God made you to be protected by your husband, and sex makes you feel married, even though you aren't. Sex is a spiritual bond because of the connection made during love making.
Yeah.
what your soul looks like to God. Sex does more to the body than the eyes can see. Be careful who and what you allow your soul to tie to. I found this on the World Wide Web under Lit, or should I say Rich and Invited It. That was a person I found out there. Listeners, do you all know what a soul tie is? The term soul tie is simply a reference to a deep bond with another person. This can be godly or ungodly, depending on the situation. David and Jonathan walked in a covenant friendship together, and the Bible says that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, 1 Samuel 18:1. The marriage covenant, the sexual intimacy between a husband and a wife, creates a bond. The two become one. As women get married, that's what they say. Two become one. They are unified. See Genesis 2:4. These are examples of good and godly bonds, but there are other types of connections that are unhealthy and toxic. And these can be the doorway to demonic access. These ungodly soul ties seem to create an invisible bondage to the person involved. And what I found on www.destinyimage.com, oh my goodness, I'm not going to say it's going to blow your mind, but we're going to talk about it. So I'm going to start with Reverend Ron. STDs, sexually transmitted demons. What do you have to say about it? Let's get started this conversation this evening, you all. I can't wait for Joe. He's going to come on, I know, in about probably about 3 minutes after all this, hopefully. And I want to see what he has to say. And we do have one in the chat room, Gather 8. So I want to welcome you as well to Let's Do It Radio with the topic of the conversation, STD, sexually transmitted demons. So, yes, there. What did I talk about? I talked about our brother from another mother. Joe has just arrived into the house. Hey, Joe, how are you?
This is your sexually transmitted demon here. How's everybody?
Joe, what's
good.
Going on, man?
Hey, Reverend, how you doing?
How you doing,
oh,
man?
Oh, my God.
He's covering the house, blood.
I know,
<That's>
huh? You are so funny.
This is an appropriate topic, though, because as we talked about last week, everybody has their demons, so, yeah, this is worth dissecting.
Yes,
sure.
Yes, yes, yes. And we're going to start with Reverend Ron first, and I want to know what he thinks sexually transmitted demons are, since he's the reverend.
Okay. Okay. Good evening, everyone, and all of the listeners
good
all
evening.
Over the world.
Hey,
I'll just go right to Casey. It was an experience in my life, and I met this lady. She was a very very unique woman, a very beautiful woman, right? And years ago, and what happened was I'm talking about this transmitting demons. So we had gotten into to make a long story short, we had gotten into relations in intimacy, and we were over into the experience, and all of a sudden, now this she laid down and she was so beautiful one way, but the spirit in her rose up and looked at me.
Oh my goodness!
While we were experiencing intimacy, the spirit in her that looked at like. Now, she was a very attractive, beautiful woman, and was a woman.
Mm-hmm.
But the spirit that rose up looked like an elderly woman that probably was bisexual.
Oh, my.
I'm just trying to tell you the truth. You're talking about this substance. I'm just telling you a real-life experience.
That's what we're here to talk about, real life experiences.
But dig this right here. We were into intimacy, and when the spirit rose up while me and her were still in intimacy, she was still in the same position, and so was I. I looked at the spirit, and the spirit looked at me. And it was like the demon was very, very angry, but had to leave.
Okay.
And I thought about that. I said, now, that must have been the spirit of the old person that told her the wrong thing to do. The demon that had the person that she met that was elderly. Because the demon was an old spirit. It had a form. It looked it. I could identify it. And it looked it like the shape of an old woman that practiced lesbianism. But an elderly. But we were into what we were doing. And her complexion, when that spirit rose up, her complexion was so light when she laid down and I laid down beside her until I knew it wasn't her that I saw right there. I knew it was a demonic spirit.
Wow.
And after that, the demon saw that I wasn't open for what they had put on her. So they flee, but angry, because they looked at me so like, okay, you done did something that we had put in her mind never to do with a man.
Interesting. Did you tell her that you saw this demon rise up?
I didn't tell her in the respect in which I'm speaking about the experience tonight. Because I'm speaking about it tonight for deliverance. I hadn't told anyone. But I did make mention to her. I did make mention to her at the time. I said, I saw something in you that probably none of your best friends know that lived, that was plaguing you.
Wow.
And she said, what? She said, what? Mm-hmm. So when you put this topic out there and I read it, I said, well, I had a first-hand experience. But the Lord in me, believe it or not, set the woman free. But the demons did not run away from her. They wait till she fleed my presence and probably implanted themselves again.
Wow. Very interesting. Very interesting. You saw something in her that no one else had ever seen before.
No, but she knew what I was talking about within herself, because that's what she's been fighting. Oh, that's what she was fighting at the time. And possibly she was angry with people and moody and all this kind of thing because of that bad spirit. It was there, and it was alive. And it was really trying to take over her to the point where a man, she would rather see him dead than alive.
Wow.
Now can you see why a person, like, let me just go on to the point. Can you see why people get into relationships and don't last long? Because they are fighting with a spirit, a demon, that's been transmitted by somebody that got what they call turnout in the natural years ago.
Okay.
And the demon called a rat.
To her.
Right.
Interesting.
That happened in real life.
I believe it. You can't just conjure stuff like that up unless you're a lighter, but that's interesting. I want to bring on, we have two other callers who have just joined us. I believe that's Reverend Will, you just joined us?
Yes, ma'am.
How are you doing this evening? And welcome.
Well, how are you and everybody?
Hello,
good
evening.
Good, 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 good. Good,
hi.
Good, good. Thank you for joining us. Yes. And then we also have Lakita Parks on us, CEO, publisher, writer, author, content creator. Anything else you have to do with publishing, pay-per-view publishing, but there's also, hey, greet us, Lakita.
Hi, how are you guys doing tonight?
Good evening.
Hey,
good, 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 good. Good, good, good. Mm-hmm. And we also have Key on the line with us, and we have our brother from another mother. We have Joe, and we have Reverend Ron on the line with us this evening. And we have a friend of mine who stays quiet from Maryland. And we also have Gather 8 Trees in the chat room. So I want to welcome each and every one of you on the line and to the Let's Do It Radio. This evening's topic, STDs, sexually transmitted demons. So next I want to hear from Key. Have you ever experienced what Reverend Ron has experienced, Key?
No, not that I can say I've identified. I'm pretty sure I have mm-hmm. some attachments that I'm acquainted with, but people in the moment make faces, you know, it might seem a little distorted because they caught up, but
right.
I can't relate to seeing any spirits in person.
Okay. And then we're going to go to Joe. Have you had any, do you have any attachments that you can talk about?
About a couple of years ago, similar to what the Reverend had undergone,
mm-hmm.
there was this woman I was laying down with, and all of a sudden mm-hmm. there was this demon that popped up. She looked at me, and I looked at her, and I said, "Who are you?" She says, "My name is Key."
Are you? That's not funny.
It is funny.
It is not. We're being for real. We are being for real.
Oh, for God's sake, somebody can't interject a joke? Jesus. Hey,
yes.
Key, were you offended? Key wasn't offended. Jesus. Am I right, Key? I'm just saying that as a joke.
Yeah, I'm
no,
really.
Boy, you're not talking now.
I'm good. I'm saying it, man.
All right. Because mm-hmm. Inez is acting like your lawyer now.
No, I haven't had any.
I haven't had any experiences like that. No. Mm-mm.
Okay, and Bro Eddie just joined the room as well. So welcome, Brother Eddie. How are you?
Hey, Ed.
Greetings. How's everybody?
Yeah.
Hey, how's it going, Eddie? How are you? All
good
is well.
Good.
What's up, Rev? What's
how
up,
you doing,
Big Joe? I'm doing great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. Lakita, you have you had any encounters like, or any, what do you want to call, I can't call them encounters, but anything like that, like Reverend Ron has?
I came in, you know, toward the end of what he was saying, so I don't know. I can't say that I have. And the way that I, you know, we know that sin is sin. The Bible mm-hmm. says intercourse, sexual relations is between a husband and a wife. And anything
right.
outside of that, whether you agree or disagree, according to the word of God, is sin. And
amen.
All of that mm-hmm. encompasses sin. So I want to share, I have a friend who wrote a book. I'm gonna work on. I'm preparing it to publish it, and you guys mm-hmm. have heard it, bits and pieces of it. It is called Rainbow of Sexuality, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna read mm-hmm. just a little excerpt if you don't mind. When mm-hmm. it says, when a single, this is just an excerpt from it. When a single woman gives her body to a single man, or to a man of which is not her husband, she has opened her pot of gold
and exposed herself to robbery, John 10:10. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The man will take from her all the preciousness God has given her. Will a man rob a woman? Yes. The gold does not belong to him, and does not, and he does not understand the value of it. A woman who voluntarily gives her preciousness away is of like-mindedness. A man will return again and again to receive more and more gold while making her promises never to abuse her preciousness. She ignorantly trusts him. Once he has robbed her of all her gold and the pot is empty, he moves on with his pockets pressed down, shaken together, running over with the pleasures of her gold. He moves on to the next victim with the same weapon of promise. What is the victim left with? The pot is empty. This is a sign that her preciousness, virginity, is gone. Her rainbow of colors has turned to black and white. This is a sign that her innocence is faded. Have you ever watched as a rainbow begins to fade from the hue of the skyline? You can stand there wishing and hoping that it would last a little longer. Once it has completely faded away, you can only reminisce of its beauty. As the empty woman lies in her bed in the silence of the night, she can only recall what she had and knowing she can never receive it again. One of the things I have heard women say to young women when they try to teach them about sexuality is that as long as you are a virgin, you always have an opportunity to be where the other person is whenever you choose, but that person can never be where you are again. She spends the rest of her life trying to restore the colors of her sexuality and to restock the empty pot with gold. She does this by engaging in relationship after relationship, trying to recapture the loss of her virtuousness. She cannot maintain a meaningful relationship because each man already has his pockets running over with the gold from another, from other suspects. He then discovers her gold is gone, there are no colors, and he moves on, robbed. Yet again, she is left empty.
And that book is coming, is in the process of being published, correct, you say?
Yeah, it's called Rainbow of Sexuality.
Okay, thank you. Reverend Lil, you have anything you'd like to say on the topic so far this evening?
Well, I didn't get here at the beginning, so I'm not, I don't quite know, but what I understood was he was either sleeping or attempting to sleep with the young lady, and he seen a demon. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Right. Reverend, Ron, go ahead and tell your story so that those who have just joined us will know what you're talking about, and then they can kind of comment.
Once upon a time. I was in a relationship, and me and this lady, we were in relations and intimacy, and while we were there, we were in action. A spirit arose and looked at me, and I looked at it, and it had the features of an older woman that possibly practiced lesbian, because I could tell she was a woman, but she had a masculine look in her and didn't have much hair on her head. And the spirit looked at me with an intense hatred. And after a while, it just fled. But the woman, when we were done, she lay down and she was so light. Her countenance was just bright, and I could not see any masculinity in her. The woman, I'm talking about the woman I was with, not the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The spirit fleed, looking like it was when it rose up while we were in intimacy. And it was very angry with me. So after a while, days had gone by, years had gone by, then that's when the Lord revealed to me that's what was wrong with the lady that I was with. She had been what they call turned out or misled about sexuality.
Hmm.
And the demon spirit was an older spirit than she was that led her that way. And that the devil used from her beginning, well, that demon was still in her. So when she and I was in intimacy, the demon got really mad because he never intended for her to be with a man again. But that wasn't the only experience. I'll tell you about another experience I had years ago.
Okay.
But I know how it was transmitted. In other words, the topic was talking about transmitted demons, right? Through sexuality. Well, I know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
I know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why the devil was able to linger, the demon was able to linger in that woman that long, is simply because the devil used somebody else in her innocent mind.
Mm.
And that's the way the demon of lust crawled up in her.
Mm-hmm.
And it made her miserable. Her life was miserable. But she, if you looked at it, she was beautiful. She was very petite. You understand? That's why I say, you know, men and women have to be careful. Just because a person look at the part doesn't mean that they are as clean inwardly as they look outward. That's why scripture say, men judge the outer appearance, external formalism, but God judges the heart.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, now, Reverend Miller, would you like to say anything?
I think she passed
out. Stop it. Reverend Lil, she's probably on mute. Reverend Lil? Okay.
Yes, can you hear me?
Now I can. Okay, now we can.
I was asking.
You were on mute.
Yeah, I was on mute. I was asking, was he saying that the young lady that he was with, is he saying that she was lesbian? Somebody, you're saying that she didn't want to be, you think that someone was teaching her not to want to be with men again. So
I think it happened earlier in her life, and the demon that plagued her all those years was angry with me.
That's usually when the homosexual group, the LGBTQ and whatever else they can think of, that's how they do. They prey on the young. They start trying to draw people when they are young and when they are very vulnerable. So it's a possibility that someone somewhere could have taught her or encouraged her to become lesbian and not be with men, which is totally and completely, I think someone earlier, a young lady, pointed at the fact about the sin, and that's where the sin comes in. It's because they're going against the way God created things. And woman should not sleep with woman, nor man sleep with man. And so, yes, I have to be in agreement that is a possibility that she was demonically inclined. I can't say she was a demon. I wasn't there. I did not see. But she could be demonically inclined through someone else. Because demons have to have a body. Evil spirits do not have to have a body, but demons have to have a body. to do whatever it is they want to do. And there is sexual demons.
Yes.
It's those that attack women and those that attack men.
Amen. I saw it with my own eyes.
Mm-hmm. Well,
but that wasn't the only experience I had. I had another one. And it's going to blow your mind when I share that with you.
Mm.
All right, Rev, you got a criminal record.
No.
You know,
I'm just joking with you. We all are just people.
Excuse me. What is the gentleman's name telling the story?
That was Reverend Marshall.
Reverend Marshall, Ronnie Marshall.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
It's another thing I would like to add with that. Not only are there demons, there are spirits. One is a familiar spirit. I'm sure you've heard of it. And they follow the bloodline of a family. So it could have been something in the young lady's family that had maybe died years ago. You talked about some old lady. That could be more than a demon. It could have been a familiar spirit.
Well, I saw it. And he got so mad at me when me and that woman was in intimacy.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't stop what I was doing, and she didn't either. The demon got mad and left.
Mm-hmm.
Because it never wanted her to contact with a man again. That demon looked at me with a hatred like, I ought to kill you.
But sometimes they will.
Yes, they will. Yes, they
will. If you're not covered, they will. They can.
Well, that one split.
Mm-hmm. It took off. Mm-hmm.
And the lady was so radiant. You know, she was more lighter than she was before we laid down. I'm talking about her skin was like just the epitome of pure beautiful.
Rev, you an exorcist. I ain't know that about you, Rev.
You know what?
Rev's an exorcist.
Eddie.
Get them demons, Rev. Get them demons.
Right?
Get them. Send them back to their daddy. Get them, Rev.
Oh, my God. Eddie, do you have the exorcism or what? No, I'm just missing. Eddie, do you have anything?
Nah,
I want
Rev's
right
number.
Now?
If I run across me a woman and she got something lingering like Kool-Aid around, then I'm gonna have to call Rev. Rev, you need to come deal with this one.
You are awesome.
Bring your magic bag, Rev. Bring your bag.
Blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Bring your bag.
Amen.
Amen.
Mm-mm.
Amen.
Amen. So do you have anything else to say, Eddie, before we go forward? Nothing now.
Trying to remember exactly how it happened.
Okay.
Well, only thing really happened to me was, I think that's before, I was just getting to know this sister and, you know, everything was pretty cool. She had two sons, and I was on the way to her house, and I called her, and she asked me to stop by the store. I said, she need anything? She asked me to stop by the store and to get her some soap. I got the right soap, but it wasn't the right kind. So I don't necessarily think that was a she-devil. It's just that she had been, but then again, it's the same thing because of her guy she was married to for quite a few years. He really abused her, you know. She did something wrong in his eyes, and he stomped her. And yeah, he used to beat her badly. And I wasn't prepared. So when I went up into her place, gave her the bag. Mm-hmm. She opened it up, and she seen what was in the bag and didn't please her. Her beautiful face just turned to someone I've never seen before. And she didn't get up, but her energy just changed. Even her voice changed. Mm-hmm. I just stood there and looked at her. I was amazed, but I definitely just stood there and looked at her. And then eventually she calmed down, and I say, well, if you want me to change it, I will. And she apologized. Mm-hmm. And I asked her what happened, and then that's when she told me about what she went through, and she's still working on healing.
Mm-hmm.
But I was young, so I couldn't handle it. So, you know, I was basically one of the last times I saw her, because that was a bit too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, okay. She was beautiful. Nice curly hair.
Mm-hmm.
This before they had the hats, you know. Most people call them weaves and extensions, but I call them hats.
With her own hair? Okay.
Yeah,
her own hair?
Just a little lower than her shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
But the way I'm saying, just like the witch and the Wizard of Oz, I mean, her whole face changed. You know, if I wouldn't have seen her before, I would have thought that's who she was all the while. That's how basically natural it looked. Or even a TV screen on her face or something. I don't know. I just never experienced anything like that before. But that's about it, you know.
It almost sounds like Don Lewis and I'm Going to Get You, Sucker, when she... And then one guy was going
No. That she broke herself down. That's what she did. That's different. Oh, wait a minute. Didn't somebody turn into a demonic? No, you're right. You're not talking about the girl he went in the room with and she started taking herself apart.
No. Remember, she was going through PMS and her face and hair kind of like fire or whatever. She got something she said. I don't even remember what she said, but yeah, she turned into a whole different person. The beautiful Don Lewis that we know, and she's the demonic Don Lewis. So yeah. Well, that's some interesting stories. Oh my goodness, interesting. And next part: there's more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in scripture, the two become one, as I said earlier. Since we want to become spiritually one with the master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. The kind of sex that could never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all the others. In sexual sin, we violate the sacredness of our own bodies, these bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, the place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God has paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in and through your body. 1 Corinthians 6:16-20. And you wouldn't think that there were any mysteries around STDs, sexually transmitted demons, according to Father Okuosa from the Ark of Greatness Church, but there are 7 mysteries from which various scientific studies have been found. And that's www.arkofgreatness.org. And that's where I found this. Number 1, Each time a man connects with a woman sexually and releases his life form energy into her, he leaves a part of his information, DNA, not STD, but DNA in her birth canal. And this also happens to him vice versa. These imprints can often create illusions and sexual addiction to the individual. When someone decides to have multiple partners, it can sometimes send mixed emotional signals within the inside of a body's vibration system. Women must be careful of different energies or spiritual forces polluting their internal temples. Could everybody please mute your line because I'm getting a feedback? Thank you. You are a sacred doorway where life is intended to pass through. Respect yourself. Use your gifts wisely. Wait till marriage as God intended, but that's too late for most of us now. Just think about it and ask yourself, ever wonder why they call it sexual intercourse, intercourse? There's an internal course that unites man and woman. Mind with mind, spirit with spirit, or energy with energy. This is something that a condom, yes, a condom cannot protect you against because energy is behind the elements of all flesh. There is no such thing as casual sex or friends with benefits or benefriends. No, no, no. I don't think so. Intimate activity intricately entwines the energies between two people. So I'm going to start at the bottom. Bra Eddie. I'm going to start with you since you was the last to speak. Each time a woman connects with a woman sexually and releases her his life form energy into her, he leaves a part of his DNA, his information. So, as we have spoken before, when a man leaves his DNA in a woman, I don't think you can get it out of it as a sexually transmitted demon. So what do you think about this? What do you think about that, what I was just talking about?
Well, I strongly feel that everything is governed by intent. Because truth be told, the lady at the well in the Bible, mm-hmm. since you're using the Bible at this time,
okay.
Jesus was at the well, and he asked the woman to give him drink. And she said, "I cannot," or whatever. I forgot exactly how the story went. So then he asked her, "Where's her husband?" And she says, "She's not married. She knows not any man." He says, "Yes, you do, and you have many."
Mm.
So that spoke to, that demonstrated that he knew that she has been with multiple men.
Right.
And
right.
That is legal and lawful, well, spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
A connection, good, bad, or indifferent, that is more of a connection. Because what I was going to say is, if there's a separation between church and state, why in order for a man and a woman to get married, why they got to go to City Hall or somewhere and get a contract? You know, that formulates a corporation. So now your wedding is dual. It's a business in the eyes of the corporation of the United States. And then it's the sanctity of the union of two becoming one on a spiritual level. So, can it be possible to get married without getting a contract? Thank you. I thought
legally
so.
No.
Now going
legally no. Legally no.
See, there you
but
go.
I'm with
legally.
You on that. No, I don't like the idea that a marriage has to be sanctioned by the state or by a religious denomination. If people want to get married and use that word to signify their commitment to each other, and they can invite their friends over for the wedding ceremony, I don't believe that's any of the state's business or a religion denomination's business. But however, people are joined at that religious denomination. That's what they're going to follow. But I don't like the fact that the state interferes with the act of matrimony.
Right. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Well, I have a question.
Come on. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a question. When Jesus was questioned about divorce, he made it clear that he said, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. And then he went on to say that the reason there was divorce, Moses gave divorce, was because of the hardness of the man's heart. And so we have to look at things. God is the one that brought in government. He's the one that picked things up. And so to say that we shouldn't, or you don't like for the state to be involved, I don't know if that would be the correct thing to say or not, because it seemed like you would be going, in my mind, because my mind is very limited, but in my mind you'd be going against what God had set up.
Well, why would you say that God created government and God said if this was my world, my people would fight?
He's the one that instituted government. He's the one that brought government and to be governed by laws and by someone. He brought that. He established that.
Yep.
And it had to be for our benefit, not his. And so it's that we go and we get a license. It's just a piece of paper, and that's all it used to be now. I don't know it. I have not had to go and get license for many, many years. But it used to be you had to go and get a blood test to make sure that you didn't have no diseases, and you get your license, and you go get married. Sometimes
you're talking about the 60s.
Marry you. Or sometimes you would have a wedding, and a minister would marry you. But that was the system. In the old biblical days, men just went and grabbed a woman and said, hey, I guess you say you're going to be my wife. And she said, okay. Or the family was set up. Find it in the Word of God where the family sets up and there's a big, great banquet. But most of the people didn't want to come. But it was because the men setting it up for the wedding that was going to be taking place. So, you know, we go through a lot of things and we're quick to say what we don't want. But we have to remember it's for our good.
I don't know about that. Because
Pray? Yeah, pray about it. I'm sure the Lord, if I'm wrong, I'm sure he'll let you know I'm wrong.
Well, I don't understand exactly where an agape-loving deity would create the corporation in the United States or the government when it murdered, even
God
though I guess that in
love, we don't. If we did, we wouldn't need no divorce papers, would we?
Well, you speaking about divorce.
Well, right,
I'm just emphasizing.
What Jesus said. The only reason why we had divorces way back then was because of the hardness of man's heart. So that lets us know we don't have agape love. Love, yes, but not a
couple. Well, all I was emphasizing on, if the man and the woman agree that they should part.
Well, that's
why
not
should,
what the Bible says in no can, state. There's
I understand,
all,
but can I please finish my comment?
Yes.
Okay. It says if two or more agree. It doesn't say if in the eyes of society, be it right or wrong. But if she can't stand me and I can't sit her, then we agree to separate. Why should we go in front of the corporation and let them decide? It's none of their business, because that union that we agreed to, her and I, to become one, had nothing to do with the government. And I'd like to know where in the Bible it speaks to that God created the government.
I believe is that the first or the third distance. I don't quite remember. But it's the second or the third dispensation that it took place.
Second or the third what?
Dispensation.
Okay, you kind of cut out Reverend Lil, so I guess he's asking what
I said.
Bible,
it's a second or third dispensation. You know, different periods. We have different periods. Dispensation, the first dispensation was the dispensation of innocence. The second was conscience. And I believe the third was government.
And what book is that in?
You start with Genesis chapter 1.
No, see, now you're emphasizing on reading the whole Bible. Right.
But no, I said you start with Genesis chapter 1. Because in Genesis, it's going to tell you about the creation. It's going to tell you about the creation of man. And then after that, all of that is innocence. Then after they disobey God, you go into conscience. And after conscience, the people started multiplying. You went into government.
And it emphasizes on.
All I know is I heard you say that, Reverend, you said governed. Doesn't necessarily. Okay.
No, he has the floor. Go ahead, Joe, because I need some assistance with this one, because it doesn't specify to me or clarify to me that he emphasized on a corporation or, you know, a body politic to govern over the people. So go ahead.
Well, I can tell I'm certainly not an expert on the Bible, but I'll tell you, Ryan, you just said a few minutes ago that it was about the governed, and I think you took that to mean the government. I don't know if that's what you meant, but that's what it seemed like to me. But even if it did mean that, that doesn't mean that the government is always right. The government is corrupt. It has been corrupt for all ages, throughout the ages in every country.
Listen, say it was always right. I just said God established. That's all I said.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
I understand.
So God established the government.
Yes, he did. He formulated it in more times than one. He formulated in Leviticus 18 and 20. You read 18 chapter Leviticus. You read the 19th chapter Leviticus. And then if you go back to Exodus, When Moses were leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, how that God, Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, after he had married the Midianite woman in the desert, Moses, when he had run from the Egyptian, the killing of the Egyptians, then he went out into the desert and stayed there 40 years. He met a girl in Meridian, and her father, Jethro was his name. Jethro told Moses, that Moses, you cannot control 4 million people. So you're going to have to pick out, you're going to have to pick out governors, you're going to have to pick out lieutenants, you're going to have to pick out captains. Well, right there in the wilderness, that particular government set forth as the leaders of the people, different positions of leadership. That was
Rev.
Governor.
Rev.
Yes.
Excuse me for interrupting you, but
Jethro
is not that deity called that people call Yahweh God or Yahshua or whoever. Jethro was a man, an individual.
Right. He was Moses' wife's father.
No. I understand that. We acknowledge that, but I'm just and where did he live? He lived in the wilderness, didn't he? He was basically a Bedouin. He lived out of society, didn't he?
Well, they had a place, but it was different from Egypt. Yeah, if that's what you're talking about. Yeah.
No. Egypt means bondage. Well, we're not going to get pulled by that one. But all I'm emphasizing on is if you go out 50 miles out of town in the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where Bedouins and people of that nature live. Even if an individual has 60 acres or 1,000 acres of land, that's not in town. So that's automatically his own estate, right?
It was a city where Moses went to. He just happened to run into the daughter as they were fetching water to feed the sheep. And Moses happened to be there when some dudes from the city came up to attack the women. And Moses defended the women. There were three sisters, Jephthah's daughters. So there was a city. It's called Meridian, I think it was.
Midian. I'm taking it too far. I apologize. Let's bring it back home.
I would just like to say one thing, and I'll be finished. Whether you get a license or you don't get a license from the state or anywhere else, the Lord says if you're not married, then you should not be having sex, because he made it very clear that you need to be married to do that.
Amen. That's
all I have to say. And if you're not married and you're not under the guise of the Lord Jesus, then you are subject to run into demons.
I'd like to say something.
Go ahead.
I just think there is a lot of emphasis on the Bible and religion when there are different facets of spirituality, and not all people and all cultures follow the same processes. There are a lot of tribes and cultures where they come to meet or gather, and they have, like, their ceremony, and then you become spouses. But you don't have all the legalities like you have in metropolis countries, like the United States or Europe or Canada, where you have to follow a certain process. And even within the states, there are certain states, Texas being one of them, where you don't even have to go through that process. If you profess your status as married with your partner and you live as a married couple, then you're deemed married by the state, without going through all that process, without all the interference, without all this extra. But I think the nature of the situation is not everybody believes what somebody else put in words. And if you read through the Bible, which I've read, it jumps around so much that, I mean, they didn't have or they didn't state that this was like some grand thing from the beginning. So I'm going to hold to my own spiritual beliefs in the way that I believe them, and I'll live accordingly. But I don't think it should be pressed upon everybody to have that belief or be made to feel that they're incorrect because they don't follow the popular line of thinking.
Okay. Well said. Amen.
Can I share?
Yes. Amen to that, too.
Laquita?
Mm-hmm.
Laquita? Okay. Two comments, and I want to share a little bit more of the rainbow of sexuality. And I'm listening to all of the comments tonight, and the one thing, everybody, whether you believe the word or not, everybody has to work out their own soul salvation, number one. And what we believe, for me, and I can only speak for Laquita, I can't speak for anybody else on this call, whether I know you or not, I can't speak for my children. I have to speak for me, and I have to go by what I believe and what I know. And I have made the choice to follow what the Word of God says. And that's the choice that I make. When I bought my car, it's a Hyundai Elantra. And my Hyundai Elantra has a manual that goes to my Hyundai Elantra. So when I read that Hyundai Elantra, I don't question it. I don't question that. They say it's a Hyundai Elantra, but this manual could probably go to my neighbor's Mercedes-Benz. I don't question that. When I bought my house,
I got a set of keys to my house. When mm-hmm. my son got his apartment, my son got a set of keys to his apartment. All three of my children live in three different apartments. They all have three different sets of keys. I can't take my keys to my house and go and unlock my son's door. So
have you tried?
That tells me that there is a manual for everything. I will say this, and I know this to be fact. The Bible is one of the only books in history that has ever been questioned the way that it has been questioned. Yet the Bible is the only book in history where history has not changed. People have come in and they have made it change because we want to make things fit the life that we live instead of living our life according. I agree with what was said. It's, you know, people have their own interpretations. The Bible is very serious about adding to or taking away from the word. It is so serious that in Deuteronomy, it says, don't add to, don't take away from my word. So in the beginning, in the middle, it says, don't, Proverbs, don't add to, don't take away. Revelations, don't add to, don't take away. We know a lot of the things that's going on. I can, if I can tell you, and I just got off of a call where a woman said her son, her grandson is in middle school, and because he is standing alongside with a friend, has now proclaimed to identify as a girl. So if we live in a world where the world says that I can be born with the anatomy of a female, but when I don't feel like I want to be a female anymore, I can identify as something else. I can marry who I want. I can do what I want. I can live how I live. They, you know, there's abortion. You can abort a fetus. You got partial birth abortion. But if you kill somebody who is pregnant, then you get arrested or you get charged with fetal homicide. That tells me that we live in a convoluted society. So for me, the Bible is my guide. We all have a guide, and then whatever your guide is, that's your guide.
Mine too.
I live my life so that if I would rather live my life and die and go to heaven and realize that there is no heaven than to die and go to heaven and realize that I didn't make it and I'm going to hell. Now, that's Laquita. That's not anybody else. For those of you who know James Parks, that's James Parks' daughter speaking. That's for me. Those are my thoughts. I want to share this last part about the rainbow of sexuality because we're talking about sex and intercourse. When one listens to the news from day to day, it appears that all that's on people's mind is sexual intercourse. Never before has it been so highlighted since the scandal of the Roman Catholic Church. Is sex something you do, or is it what you are? If you believe in Hollywood, it's something you do. In the believer's world, it's what you are. When a woman is with child, one may ask, what's the baby's sex? Are they inquiring about the baby's performance or gender? On applications, is there a section to check sex? Now, surely you don't think they're asking you to respond with a yes or not tonight, honey. I have a headache. Being the intelligent form of animals, we know they are speaking of our gender. Paul wrote it by inspiration, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. 1 Corinthians 6:18. That is a profound statement. What does Paul mean? I determined by a hermeneutical exegesis of the context what it means theologically speaking. Theology is good. However, nothing gives one the real answer until he is guilty of the sin. I am a victim of Satan's offer and a casualty of my choices. I was ignorant and perceived that sex was something you do. To advance my ignorance, I disregarded all God's laws in that area. Rainbow of sexuality defined. Now, here's the thing that, and I had this conversation yesterday. There are people who are heterosexual. There are people who are homosexual. Mm-hmm. There are people who are bisexual. There are people who and these are people who identify. I identify as heterosexual. Here, and I am a single woman, and I am a single woman not in a relationship. I am a single woman I am a single woman choosing to abstain. Now, I haven't always chose to abstain because when you do better, you know better. I will say, since I've chosen to abstain, I don't deal with the minutia that I dealt with when I chose not to abstain. Because in the midst of the rainbow of sexuality, when I was engaged sexually with a man who was not my husband, and there were too many emotions tied to it, the jealousy emotion, you know, who is he seeing? Is he seeing me? And then to find out that I was engaged with someone sexually, and they were also engaged with someone else sexually, and that person was engaged with someone else sexually, and all of those spirits, whatever you want to call it, spirits, demons, whatever, they were tied up, and all those spirits came back to me. So we were sharing the same spirit, and that leads to all kinds of things. It leads to mental disorder. It leads to depression. It leads to sexually transmitted diseases. It leads to all kinds of things. And here's the thing: whether you identify as homosexual, bisexual, lesbian, all these letters, you know, the A through the Z, so they keep adding, they keep adding them. Identify as, if you choose to have sex with a man or a woman who is not your spouse, it is sin, no matter how you shake it. So if you identify as homosexual and you're not having intercourse, you're not committing a sin. If you sin is the act. So even if I identify as heterosexual and I'm having sex with a man who is not my husband, I am sinning, and I do damnation to my own soul. So whether you believe that or not, that's fine with me. That which you do, if you do something and it's sin to you, you sin against yourself. If you do something that you don't believe in, then that's sin. So if I'm telling you something and I'm participating in something that I don't believe in, then I'm committing sin against my own conscience. So
married people
for the person who was asking and wanting clarity about the government and God creating government, you can find governing, the Bible does teach that you obey those who have authority over you, and that means the laws, obey the laws, as long as it does not infringe upon God's law. If it infringes upon God's law, or if it's in opposition of God's law, then you follow God's law and not man's law. That's my story, and I'm sticking.
That's right. That goes back to besides the point. Can I be heard? Am I on mute?
I said put you on mute, but you are not on mute.
Yeah, you should have put me on mute.
We can hear you.
But since you didn't yet.
I still can.
The Pharisees said to Jesus, should the people be taxed? And he said, whose face is on the money? Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just like what she said. And I'm just giving her accolades for the last part of her statement. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's.
And render unto God what is God.
Right. Okay. So, being that we are spirits clothed in flesh, since deity was supposed to have breathed the breath of life into potter's clay, there's essence of that deity inside of us. And just like what it says he tries the heart, just like what you're saying. I will put my word in your inward part. So we govern ourselves, and just like what you also said, what an individual chooses to do is their divine right. Man gave the alphabet city turned them loose. That spirit has already been turned loose in society. One of my best high school friends went over to somebody's house, and I hadn't seen him for 3 months. And when I did see him, he invited me over, and he said he wanted to show me his place.
Mm.
And then he started acting kind of strange, so yes, I left. And no, I didn't have to stab him. Thank goodness. But anyway, that there's quite a few things that I could demonstrate in reference to that spirit. My godmother told me, even though it was about 20 years later, that a spirit was let loose. And her spiritual practice is Ifa, which is an ancient African, so-called African tradition, and Kemetic spiritual cultivation, which is what the Bible calls Egypt, which means bondage, one of the greatest civilizations. Okay? She told me that. Society, this governmental system, spirits, just like it says in the book of Ephesians, spiritual wickedness in high places. So you're always supposed to govern your own self. Job was a very obedient man, even though he constantly made sacrifices to protect his children, right? To pour blood over his children, sacrificing animals. I ain't saying it's good, I ain't saying it's bad. Just like those African traditions, they sacrifice animals for power. They don't play that gay stuff, what Obama did. He said he didn't want to sign it, but he did. The Bushes ain't exactly against it, but ain't no telling what they do in their closet because child trafficking and all of that stuff has been going. Well, I'm going too far. But my point is, I don't see why it's important to formulate a corporation with the government, because that goes into the birth certificate. It goes deeper than that. But my point is, you don't have to have sex. This is my point overall. You don't have to penetrate a woman to exchange bodily fluids. But then I guess you do, because a kiss is still penetration. So.
Okay. So would people consider that's fine. So would people consider a kiss as a sexually transmitted demon?
No.
You said Joe, you said no? Who said no?
I think that was Rev.
No, I said no. Because the Bible tells us to greet one another with a holy kiss.
Holy kiss.
A holy
kiss. That's on the
and
cheek,
a holy
though,
kiss
isn't it,
is
Rev?
On the cheek.
It's
that
on
is on the cheek, though, right?
Okay. Yes.
So, but if you go mouth to mouth, that is still being as Eddie was saying. That's a penetration, a sort of penetration, correct?
Well, see now, y'all say the cheek, but I haven't read where that portion of scripture was speaking where it said on the cheek.
Right.
It said a kiss.
Rev, I apologize for interrupting you, but it even emphasizes when Judas kissed him to initiate the Romans, who Jesus was. He kissed him on the cheek. I don't think there's any place in the Bible where it emphasizes that a man kissed another man on the lips. And even but see, this is not about the Bible. This is science, what I'm speaking of. Okay? Time. You exchange bodily fluids, your DNA, and that person's DNA that you're kissing is mixed. Science has proven that you can take the white of the eye of an individual, and in there, this the DNA of every person that they have exchanged bodily fluids with.
Okay, stop right there. Say it again, please.
The white of the eye.
Eddie. Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I just want you to say it again.
The white of the eye. They can take a piece of the white of a person's eye. And they can do a test on it, and they can get DNA from each person that that person has ever slept with. See, just like what it says about the body being fashioned in a miraculous way, whatever the case may be.
Mm-hmm.
There's no greater computer that man or mankind could ever make that is greater than his physical body. Everything that exists, cars, anything that is mechanical, is symbolic of the body. Everything has a heart. It either burns fuel in some way. It has motion like legs and arms. Now cars have computers, so you don't even have to sit in the driver's seat. You could turn it on and put your destination in and get in the back seat. And I think somebody got arrested for that. I think they're still behind the wheel. It just was they were napping, as they said. But everything is that way. Just like in antiquity, they symbolized animals and their behavior, and they put those heads on bodies to symbolize the characteristics thereof. Kiss, a French kiss, as I guess they started calling it. You're still exchanging juices.
Okay. Anybody else want to comment on that?
Well, I think sex can be mental, too. You can have a sexual connection with a person without being touched or having a physical exchange. And I don't think it's all necessarily the component of being married so you're sinless, because married people bring demons into a marriage situation all the time. So there is no isolated group, if that's something with this shit.
Well said, Key. Be careful when meeting strangers unaware.
Joe, you have anything you want to say? Comment?
No.
Oh, no.
Come on, Joe. Kick those glasses and that hat off, man. What's wrong with you?
I'm just waiting to go out of the next conversation.
Okay. He's all churched out. Okay. So number two in this mystery, sex creates a powerful exchange of energy between those involved. These connections, imprints, and debris, yes, I said debris, there's garbage, are left upon the mind, soul, and spirit for a long time because they are not easily purged or cleansed. Casual sex with multiple partners can intertwine the energies and spirits of a lot of people into your own aura if they are not severed and cleansed. You can become joined to every person with whom your partner has slept, as well as all the partners those people have. This type of soul clutter can be felt by your partner's subconscious. Even if they are not completely in tune or aware of the extracurricular sexual activities, they are still able to sense the subtle disturbances of multiple energies and or familiar spirits that have entered, causing restlessness and inner turmoil. The longer and more intimate the contact with another person, the more powerful and reinforcement and interaction of the bond become, and all the more difficult it is for them to untangle and leave. Soul stains, transference of odors, yes, I said odors, perceptive connections, and even mutually formed habits are now left to burden the psyche long after that relationship has ended. I know that Reverend Ron would always say that he didn't want people to bring you know, Jimmy Joe, Jack, Mike, Tyrone, Ray Ray into the relationship. But according to what we're reading this evening, we do. So how do you cleanse those other people out of your psyche, your spirit, your odors, how do you declutter the soul? I'm going to ask Sister Lil, or Reverend Lil, first to see what she has to say.
What are you asking me?
How do you declutter the soul of these intertwined energies and spirits of a lot of people who are into your own aura, who have been sexually transmitted into you? Go ahead and say it.
I'm not getting all of what you're saying.
You're not getting all of what I'm saying?
Oh, I didn't quite understand what you said.
It might be in mine. I had it in my lap. So, basically what I was saying that being with multiple people, you know, one person with another person and that person transfers, you know, all the entities from the people before with the people before to the new entity and so on and so forth. So, you know, you have casual sex with multiple partners, which can intertwine the energies and spirits of a lot of people into your own aura. And they call that the type of soul clutter, which can be felt by your partner's subconscious. And I was asking you, basically the audience, how do you get rid of that soul clutter? How do you cleanse yourself of prior sexually transmitted demons?
Well,
or can it be done?
I think, yes, it can be done, but only through Jesus. You know, Inez, when I think the majority of the older people, I don't know about the younger now, but in my young days, people was hung out and strung out on horoscopes and all of these kind of things. Now, even those, we're talking about sexually transmitted demons. Well, demons can get to you all sorts of ways other than sex also. And that was one of the first things I learned about the horoscopes when I accepted Christ. And I learned that when you diddle-daddle with these kind of things, with the horoscopes and fortune-telling and witchcraft and even with the sex, as I said earlier, there is demons that deal with the male species and the female species. And so we have them in both kinds, and even your drugs, even your marijuana, how it tries to say it's good because God created the earth. Well, he didn't create it to smoke and get high off of. Anything that alters the mind is dangerous because it opens up the door for the demons or demonic forces or evil spirits, Satan himself, to enter in. And once the door is open, you cannot close it until you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He's the only one that can get rid of them. He's the only one that can clear up all the clutter, all the baggage. Everything that we do before we accept Christ, he can clean it up. We can spend millions of dollars trying to clean it up ourselves, but it's totally impossible. There's a story in the Bible, I believe it's in Matthew, that says the man cleaned up his house. He swept it, he garnished it, he made it look good, smell good, everything most likely. And he went out. But that man was not saved. And when he come back, the words say he brought in seven more demons that was worse, and he found himself in a worse state than he was in the beginning.
Yep.
Because we cannot do it, no matter how hard we try. We have to have Jesus. He's the one that went to Calvary. He's the one that took our sin, because all of this stuff is sin. sin. Why is it sin? Because it goes against the way God created things. Women with women, men with men, the whole nine yards goes against the way God created things. It's sin. And so God, Jesus is the only one that has made a way to get out of sin, so we don't have to be a slave to it anymore. He's the only one that can shut the door. You pull off that old man and give us a new creature in Christ Jesus.
Okay. Anybody else care to comment?
I'd like to.
Come on, Joe.
I'd like to share something.
Go ahead, man.
I'd like to share something. To begin with, what the Reverend said and what Queen said and what everybody has touched on. But going back to the topic of transmitted demons by way of sex, it's a real situation, as it's been spoken over and over again. I'll tell you all of another experience that was real for me. I was in my RV at the time. I had a 20-footer, shower, everything in it. And I had parked it, I think I was in Lathrop, California, I think it was, right off the 5 freeway going into Sacramento and Fresno and on like that. But I had parked over there, you know, and going past where I was going, one of the moral of the story is, I was again in a intimate relation, intimacy. And in so doing, in the midst of it, and we were highly participating in what we were doing, there arose in the process with me and this beautiful woman again, not the same person, but a different person. There arose a hand, while we having intercourse, a hand rose up from the floor of the RV. Now nobody sleep. We getting it. And a hand rose up with a ring on the finger, and the ring was I remember it vividly. It was like a reddish ring on the hand, and it grabbed my hand because the lady was under me and my hand was on, I remember it well, my hand was on this side of that bed on the RV, and I had it pressed down on this hand, and of course we was in a position of intercourse. And all of a sudden, this is the truth, I never stopped what I was doing with the lady. But the hand that grabbed my hand came up from the RV floor with the red ring on it. And it was the hand of an old, very elderly woman, because the nails was drawn and the hand was, it was, but it grabbed my hand totally. So much so until I looked at it on my hand and my hand on it. I never stopped what I was doing, but it irked me so bad until when we were done, the process of everything was happening all over again in my head because I was trying to figure out what was that? You know how you go through an experience and you say, how did that happen? What was that? You know, what was this kind of thing? So if your conscience is never cleared from misrepresentations of truth, then you'll always be troubled by bad experiences. But when you start acknowledging the spirit of truth, which the Reverend mentioned,
this is this dispensation, this time where we are now in 2022. This is the dispensation of truth. And that's why so many things are happening catastrophically and also chrismics, because of we are not recognizing like we should truth. Everybody has a ism or falsehood that they have adapted to. You understand what I'm saying? By way of error of information. When it's misrepresented to people, people can walk around believing a lie and thinking it's the truth because they never heard the truth. They heard the lie. So I go back to say, demonic spirits are like pigs in a parlor. I don't care how clean you got the parlor. If you put pigs in it, they can come out of the back room clean, but they're going to go find mud to get in. They're going to find mud to get in, and then they're going to come back, and they're going to dirty up the parlor because pigs don't belong in the parlor. So demons don't belong in our bodies. But being that our body is an instrument of expression, then the spirit of the mind is where the demonic spirit set in at. Whatever your mind, whatever train of thinking your mind has flowing through your brain, your conscious, well, then that's what the body's going to do. So if what they say, evil or wickedness or lies or deceitfulness, if that's what's ruling your pattern of thinking, then your body's going to carry out those things, because they're then taking the evil personality and they'll be able to come into reality by the use of your body through your mind. So if the mind, where is the mental faculty whereby we think, if the mind is not the mind of Christ, perfection, well, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to carry out imperfection. If you go with the fallen nature of mankind by way of the system of the world is set up under, well, then guess what you're going to do? You're going to do everything contrary to what's right.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in the best relationship with the best woman, but if the spirit of your mind tell you Sadie looks better over there, then you'll forget all about the goodness that you're living and that God is blessed with, and you'll go out to Sadie. Or if it's a woman, if she's with a guy, and the spirit of her mind has that demonic sense of lust, then she'll go right past a clean man and get with vomit. Because why? Why? Because the spirit of her mind told her she'll have a better sensation, sensation in the lust of the vomit than she would a clean man. So it derives from the information that goes through your mind. That will depict the difference of how many demons you carry through your life. But if you go with the truth, see, the truth don't have no, it has no crooks and turns. It's straight. And if you're with the truth, then you can't even hardly be tricked, because your practice, everyday practical way of doing things, is truth. But when you vary from the truth to give in to a fallen nature or either imperfection, then that's what you're going to have in your life. And some people get caught up moving forward but still have the imperfection of baggage with them in their minds. That's why Philippians 2:5 in the Bible say, let this mind that was in Christ be also in you, the perfect one. Now, some people say, well, everything has not got to be about a scripture. Everything ain't got to be about righteousness. Everything ain't got to be about God. Well, my practical way of life is holiness, living as what the Lord would have me to do. You notice I said my practical way. I practice living the best I possibly can for God. That's my choice. Mm. That's what I love to do, because it works for me. Holiness, the scripture, the Bible, God, and everything that involves my creator that created me, guess what? That works for me. And I've experienced it over and over again. It works for me. Trying to live without God, without scripture, not wanting the truth,
caused me nothing but pure hell while I lived here on earth.
Well, Reverend Ron, I have a question.
Go right on.
Okay, so you've identified these demon spirits more than one time.
Right on.
Could it be possible that the demon of the other person was attached to the demon that you contributed to the situation?
Could very well have been. Could very well have been.
You can be deterred by these patterns. I mean, you continue through the act and you did it more than one time.
Right. But look at this right here. Check this out. Every relationship that you hear me talking about wasn't a sinful relationship. In other words, every time you heard me talk, it wasn't about no fornication or adultery.
Well, you say if the demon ran off, it was like afraid of your truth and all this, like you were some set of bugs in the situation.
That time, I was out of safe of perfection, or I was out of righteousness when that happened. But I saw the spirit, the demon. You know, like you.
But it
like
didn't,
you
it didn't put you off.
Huh?
It didn't put you off. It was okay to just continue in the behavior.
That was my energy at the time. That's what I felt in my heart. I'm not going to stop this, but I see what's going on. Have you ever been involved with something, and then you see something else while you're involved with something, and you don't stop what you're doing, but you yet see what you see, right? Well, that was the situation I was in.
But I'm saying more than one time, though.
But these were different times, right? Different. I'm about ages. My age was different. Different times. Now, when I'm talking about the RV, that was before the piece that I just told you all about tonight, about the demon that rose up in the bed with me and the woman. Well, in the RV, the woman that grabbed my hand with the ring, that just came up out of, you know, we was in the motion. And she
her demon latched on to your demon and you just couldn't identify your own.
Well, possibly that could have happened. But at the same time, I recognize what happened. I recognize it so well, I can tell you about it tonight. So possibly you are right. Maybe there was some things of my past had me going, but I know what happened while it was going on. I wasn't asleep to the point of what was going on in the experience. Then the revelation came lately of what was happening. This was demonic activity. But you don't have to give in to demonic activity. You don't have to give in to evil personality. Demons are evil personalities that speak into our minds. But you don't have to give in to it. You can resist it like you do everything else.
But then again, a lot of times we don't see our own demons. We see other people's demons because we see them and look at them. We don't see ourselves because unless we look in the mirror, so we don't picture our demons, you know, facing us. We just see other people's demons. Is that correct?
Excuse me. When you can identify certain things in certain people, you can identify the same thing in you sometimes. Now, whether you want to own up to it or not is a horse of a different color. But sometimes when you can make eye contact with a person, right? And if it's a spirit in you that's in that person, y'all can come to the same conclusion without saying nothing.
Okay.
I say that again because somebody may not have understood what I was saying. But I'm trying to stay with the subject of the transmitted demons. But I'm just telling you all that that's a real situation, and it does happen. Now, I couldn't talk about it if I hadn't experienced it, yeah?
Right. And it's just like an exorcist kind of thing. When a demon is getting exorcised, the person who is doing the exorcism, they don't, if if they do have demons in them, they don't see those demons. They only see the demon of the person that's being exercised. That's what I'm saying. So we don't see ourselves unless we look in the mirror. And we're, you know, to see those demons, you know, those, just those demons. But, you know, unless we're in the midst of the act, we're not going to see any sexually transmitted demons because we're not in the act of being sexual with ourselves. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah. But
in a sense,
can,
if I may say.
You can identify demonic activity. Again, demons are evil personalities, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so being that they're evil personalities, demonic spirits don't want you to do anything clean or as lifestyle mm-hmm. is concerned. Demonic activities don't want you to do the right thing. The influences of demonic activity is evil and against the truth. That's why Jesus told us, and I go back to scripture because that's my facts. That's the history. Mm-hmm. That's the records that I can contribute to the world that I live in right now that identifies perfectly the activity of this existing world. That's why Jesus okay. told us, he said, men should always stay in a place of sacredly mm-hmm. prayer with God. It should always. He said, it should always. And not think for the moment that you think you give in to demonic activity. Now, you can think in more ways than one.
Okay.
You could faint okay. in your courage. You could faint in your strength to move forward. You could faint in limited knowledge, not knowing enough. Well, if the spirit of truth is not leading your mind, then guess what's going to happen? Everything that's the opposite of truth, you'll play it out. And the demonic spirits, the evil influences are standing, awaiting a fresh mind to clutter.
Mm-hmm.
They don't okay. want you to believe in God. They
mm-hmm.
don't want you to live
mm-hmm.
holy.
I guess we're talking about that. Mm-hmm.
They want you to live a raunchy mm-hmm. lifestyle that you can attract diseases.
Raunchiness.
Be crazy mm-hmm. and all this kind of stuff. You know? It's real. It's not a joke. It's really real.
Right.
So if somebody dies mm-hmm. of cancer, that mean they got a demonic spirit in them?
It was a demonic infirm spirit. Spirit of infirmity, affliction, sickness.
Diabetes, blood pressure.
All that stuff. Mm-hmm. All this stuff lies. It comes from overly thinking, fear, not having enough, worried about what the future is going to be.
Gluttony,
It's a spirit of the enemy, okay? Because if he makes you worry about stuff, well, then you know worry is not of God. Worry is not of perfection. Worry comes through imperfection. And when you worry, that means you don't totally have faith, which is confidence
mm-hmm.
in your God. Some people believe in themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Some people, government is what they think is right or what they've learned from Socrates, Aristotle, and Plato and all them. Some people think that the analysts of this world, modernistic world even in which we live in, has the answer more than God, who created the whole world and the analysts. So if you fall under the structure of imperfection in another man or woman's mind, then you're going to be subject to demonic spirits.
Well, I don't think, I mean, people have a choice sometimes. Some of those things are generational, and you have no play in it. But I'm curious as to the poor souls that are voluntarily giving up their innocence that contract these demons by no choice of their own. So,
right.
Which generates like other patterns of behavior. So if something latched to you, then you're going to respond accordingly, especially if you don't know any better.
Right.
So not everybody that's sick put the infirmities on themselves.
Right.
Knowingly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That goes back to the contract. That's the contract.
The contract, they have the responsibility, though, to correct themselves. They got that responsibility. No, they did not do it. They didn't do it to themselves, some people, but they have the responsibility to correct themselves.
Well, I mean, you could try as much as you might. There's all kind of people that have infirmities or whatever that they didn't generate in themselves that wasn't healed when Jesus was giving out healing. There's people, even with the best faith and trying to live their life all the right kind of ways, will still succumb to these same things.
Well, the reality of that, Key, if I may say, is choice, forgiveness, and healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody's been through something, no matter what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't put a height or a low on these experiences because, again, even that is individuality. You know, I slam my finger in a door. I might cry mm-hmm. for 3 days. You slam yours in the door. You might laugh and say, that was dumb. And just go on about your mm-hmm. business. I'm still on the floor. You went to California and back.
Crying.
I'm still on the floor when you get back. Yes, indeed. Give me a glass of water. I'm dehydrated.
Mm.
You know. So, but overall, it's that healing, you know, getting into
mm-hmm.
that place of
mm-hmm.
healing and forgiveness.
Mm.
Because just like what you're saying, sometimes we'll follow somebody or we believe that somebody has our best interest at heart. And we don't
mm-hmm.
acknowledge the term, and sometimes we apply guilt to ourselves
mm-hmm.
for trusting and allowing somebody into our inner sanctum. But that forgiveness must take place. It's not easy to forgive somebody who knew what they were doing when they did it to us,
right.
no matter what it
right.
is, you know. But that's the only way we're going to be free and whole. And again, even that's a choice. A lot of people don't even realize
mm.
everything we do is a choice. You know, I think I spoke to this. I wear 5 different colors. And I love the Holy Ghost. That's what I call women because they're missing, you know, in that book, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, there's a Father and a Son. Where's that feminine energy that brought forth that third party? But anyway...
well,
my daughter used to like going anywhere with me because of the fact that, you know, I'll do that.
Weird.
Don't get me wrong. I ain't wearing pink, orange, and purple. I might wear, you know, like a brown pair of pants and a white and blue shirt or something like that. There's no brown in it. And she'll say, Daddy, we can't go nowhere like that. You know, that's when she was a little girl, of course, but I'm just saying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the key. Oh, look at that. That's the key to it all.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, okay.
Because we are wise. We are wise beyond measure. But
right.
It's the innate within us that we need to listen to. Because this world is a deceiver. Like I said, my godmother always said, it's a Sebek world. In a lot of African traditions, there's a trickster that stands at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not as clever as he is, then he could lead you astray. You know, look at the political machine. It's just so many things. You know, you can go in a store and buy something that's supposed to be good. You bring it home and open it up, and you see it's spoiled and missing some parts. Yeah, it could be an accident, but they still made that money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they got that calculation.
Mm-hmm.
You bring it back the next day. you get another, you get your money back, but they still created, generated that interest.
Right. Interesting.
Everything is to the individual.
Interesting.
And yes, I love you, Key. I love your mind too, girl. You're wise. You just don't realize
Yes, she is. I think Key's sister B just joined us. B, is that you out there?
Uh-oh.
Yes. Hello. Good evening. Yes, that's me.
Good evening. Good evening. How
are you? Welcome.
Hold up. You on the highway again, girl?
Yeah, I'm always driving.
It's okay. She knows how to, drive hands-free. Or,
I was just messing with it, so it's a good thing.
I see.
Go ahead,
see how you are. You be messing folks.
That's what I do.
Okay, so number three. I know. You got to always bring me back. The third, as they say, mystery is the openness and surrender during sexual intercourse can allow the exchange of attached entities between two people. The thoughts, desires, and behaviors of an entity, of an attached entity, are experienced as a person's own thoughts, desires, and behaviors taking over their body. The thoughts, feelings, habits, and desires do not seem foreign if they have been present for a long time, as we had spoke about earlier, even from childhood. But sometimes we carry those entities because, what it may have happened to a person as a child. This is a major factor in the widespread denial of the concept and lack of acceptance of the phenomena of discarnate interference and spirit attachment, obsession, and possession. You heard that. This is a major factor in the widespread denial of the concept and lack of acceptance of the phenomena of discarnate interference and spirit attachment, obsession, or possession. That sounds like something Reverend Ronald would be talking about.
Right. I got something to say to that, too.
Break it down. Go ahead.
We got to be sure that we do not become appreciative of the demonic spirits. We got to make sure.
Okay.
That we do not become appreciative of the demonic spirits. Now, what am I saying? Why would anybody appreciate a bad influence or evil personality? You would have to like it.
They would like it. That's what I was going to say. They would have to like it.
Some people
and enjoy what they feel from that spirit.
Amen. So in order to denounce influences that are demonic, you have to own up to the truth. That's the only thing. Love and truth is the only thing that will cause demonic influences to leave your mind and your heart and your body. Because the influences, can't stand truth. That's why they come to trouble you, to keep you from dwelling in truth mentally. Because if they know that if you dwell in truth mentally, you're going to be productive, you're going to be successful, you're going to walk with wisdom, adverse to being immature, unlearned, and deceived. You cannot appreciate wrong at no cost. If it's wrong, you got to call it, even if you like it. Even if it makes you feel a certain gratification to your own body, you get, if it's wrong and it's not right, you got to say it's wrong. Because when you say it's wrong, you resist the evil influence of wrong.
But if you let it slide on because you like it, it will develop. It would develop a space in your mind.
I'm so sorry, but I have no idea what he just said.
Well, ask me.
I mean, because mind you, I was like, I'm so confused. It's like, oh, you got to, you know, reject what feels good to the body because it's demonic. Who said it? And who said it was wrong? Like, I'm confused. I'm very confused at what you're talking about.
Well, the topic was, you know, she was talking about sexual transmitted demons is our topic. She took it to another phase, and I was responding that demonic influences in our lives can hang around if we show appreciation to them. In other words, let me just draw another scenario that might be a little more simple. As long as a woman cheats on her husband, the guy that she's cheating with, he makes her feel a certain kind of way that she likes. That's why they will risk everything, because they appreciate the sensation that comes from cheating. Even though when they get done with the demonic, appreciating the demonic spirit that causes them to be unfaithful or infidelity, they go back home and they still guilty for what they have done. And the other person
most women don't cheat for sexual gratification. That's more of a man thing. Most women, if they stepping out, they're stepping out because they're being paid attention to. It's a little bit deeper than just, you know, cheating because my body feel good by what you're doing. It's something else. Women are like emotional beings. So I guess I'm still confused. And I did come in late, and it was talking about sexually transmitted demons. So it's like diseases or something like that?
No, demons.
Okay, I should be quiet because, mind you, I guess I really did not, and I still don't understand what you're saying in regards to something feeling good but resisting it because it's wrong. And I was like, so I guess your example of a woman cheating because
think about it. Take yourself, for instance, right? Your truth. If your truth says someone breaking in somebody's house is wrong, still in their possession, right? Well, if your truth stands for that, then that's wrong to you. That's not right. No matter what influence come along to tell you, say, oh, it's not right to go take their stuff out of the house, your truth that you stand on far as righteousness or just truth alone, tell you, say, no, it's wrong to go break in somebody's house. But the evil influence or the influence of a person that's used to stealing and like to stealing or a thief, they say, no, it's the right thing to do because I can get over. But your truth that you stand upon, because you know you don't want nobody breaking your house to steal your stuff and cause misery as such, so you say that's a wrong thing to do. But now if you become in agreement with the mentality of a thief, then you just agreed with the demonic influence. That's what we're talking about. So my thing was, you can't appreciate. If it's wrong, you shouldn't appreciate it at no cost. Whether you feel good about it, or whether it make you feel good, or whether it tickle your flesh, or whether it even influence you to a sensation of excitement in your heart and in your mind. If it's wrong, it's still wrong. And if you agree with wrong, you not only contract that evil personality, but you set yourself up for a whole lot of them. Now do you get it? B, do you understand it now?
Yeah, I understand that concept, if you're using, like, the thief or whatever. But, okay. But
Okay. I get it.
Are your paycheck. So, take your paycheck, Vincent. If somebody tell you, say B. When you get paid, bring your money to me. And you say, what? After I've worked out, what Eva and Florence say, I ain't got to work, but I can take your money after you work hard for it.
Mm.
Until you say, bring it to me. Is that the right thing to do?
Oh, is that an actual question?
That was an actual question, but kind of like a rhetorical. Go ahead.
No, I mean, I guess it would all depends on what kind of dynamics you have, where that person got comfortable enough telling you to bring that money. I was like, is that something that you've already been doing? I guess it all depends.
If you didn't want to do it.
If you didn't
want to do it and they demanded that you do it.
Oh, I'm not that weak. That's not my personality. Well,
okay, but you would consider that to be wrong if you didn't want to give your money up, right?
That is correct.
I yield the balance of my time. You know?
I think that if we're accepting our own versions of the truth, then, I mean, the truth is going to start as a learned behavior before you come to the realization of what the truth is for you. But, I mean, even the devil started out as an angel, and things have been, like, passed down for generations and generations and generations and generations. So that concept has been established throughout history that people bring things to us, but if you're going to say, well, I'm set apart because I believe this to be true, like infidelity, when is it right to cheat? When is it right to step outside of your marriage? Yet there are examples, if you use the Bible, where people exhibited these bad behaviors. Sometimes it's revealed what their punishment was, and then sometimes it wasn't. But if you're basing your truth off the principles that you read about, then who's to say that truth would be wrong for me?
Well, even if you don't read it, you got a truth that you live by. They
it
call
still starts as a learned behavior. It still starts as a learned behavior, like everything else.
Well, now, some things that you learn, you don't follow through with everything that you learn. Because something you learned is not right, even though you learned it.
Okay, well, exactly. Yeah. But at the same time, your version of truth that you learned is going to be different than the version of truth somebody else going to learn.
No, you would have to say difference of opinions. But truth won't change. It's going to always be truth.
Well, if the truth that don't change, it would be consistent for everybody. And the truth ain't the same for everybody.
Oh? Why you say that?
Because it's already been established. If it was going to be thou shall not covet, or thou shall not commit adultery, or if thou shall not take the Lord's name in vain or whatever, but it's still something that has been in practice, it's witnessed, it's an example, then it's learned. Abraham stepped out on his wife. Solomon had 100 wives. David stepped out and did his thing. And that go on and on and on throughout the Bible.
But something happened when they done that.
It don't tell you something happens to everybody.
Yeah, it did.
I didn't read, like I said, I read through the Bible. I didn't see Abraham getting no consequence. In fact, his offspring still had his own blessing.
But they did something, though. When they stepped out, it was something that taken place that got them back in fellowship with God. It's something that they had to do. When David stepped out, it's something that happened to him that made him come back to God and made God accept him. When Abraham did his thing with Sarah, it's something that God did, that they done to make God accept them. Even if we step out, there's something that we must do to get ourselves back together again. Right?
I'm just saying the truth for one person is not the truth for everybody else. Your truth is that you need to be, like, in the Bible, prayer-focused, live, like, just one certain lifestyle. That's not the same lifestyle for an agnostic. That's not their truth. Just because it's real for you doesn't make it real for the next person. Then
Wait a
you
minute.
Have
what
people
is...
that have, like, multiple spouses. So how would that be wrong if I was in the group where I had multiple spouses, if I've already witnessed it done times and centuries ahead? Then, if it was the same truth, then the act of adultery, the man would have died too, not just the woman. So if that's the truth and the word says, if you call it an act of adultery, you die, how is it they only stone the woman? And don't say that they stone men too, because ain't nowhere in the Bible I read, regardless of what version it is, have you read about a man getting stoned for committing adultery. So
wait a minute, let me say this first.
Let me say the same for everybody.
Well, yes, let me say this right here. You remember when they brought the woman to the courtyard where Jesus was because she was found in adultery, right?
Yeah, but they brought her. They didn't bring the man.
Wait a minute. Look what happened.
They brought her. They didn't bring the man.
But look what happened.
She was caught in the act. So why was she solo?
But see, Jesus' teaching was this, not for her. What God speaks to one person, he demands of all. Or otherwise, he can be called a just God. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So when they brought the woman that was caught in adultery, they brought her to stone her. But notice what Jesus said to them. He said, each one of you all that's judging this woman, which one of you are without the sin? And the Bible says none of them could stone.
Because they had their own sin. My point is, if the truth was, if you're caught in the act, you should be stoned, then she shouldn't have been by herself.
But she didn't get killed, remember? She didn't get killed. They didn't stone her.
Okay,
they wanted to.
But if they got stoned before, they've been a bunch of people stoned since.
You never heard of a man.
Your version of the truth is more right than mine. Just because you
I'm not the author of truth. I'm a follower of truth. I'm not the author of truth. God is the author of truth.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a follower of truth. I believe truth is my pattern. And I don't all the time get it right. But at the same time, my practice is to do the right thing. And when you do the right thing, then sometimes you don't have problems with demons. You do, but it's because it's not from the not because you have participated in some wrongful act. When you follow righteousness, your fight from demons is because you are a person that stands for truth. And demonic forces, mm-hmm. they do not offer truth. As for man or woman. Whether you're agnostic or whether you believe in creation. Now, what was an agnostic before they came agnostic? What were they before then?
I don't know what they were.
Are you asking us?
Yeah, I'm asking a question. What was an agnostic before they became an agnostic?
A human person in a human form with a human mind.
And they must have believed in God before they became agnostic, right?
No, not everybody believed in God. That's learned behavior also.
Well, wait a minute. I'm just saying, we're talking about okay, an agnostic. You know, agnostic is a word used for evolution. The non-agnostic people, they believe in creation. God making men, making everything. But the agnostics have another viewpoint that's without the belief of God. They believe like the Grecians. They believe like the Grecians, the Greeks. The Greeks don't believe in the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in the Spirit of God. They believe in the natural sensation, far as theatrical plays and all. That's their spiritual height, far as modernistic people. So they are considered people that lives off of their own abilities of what they can do.
That don't need to believe in God first. That's an opinion that's not shared by everybody. And I'm one of the people that don't necessarily agree.
You don't agree to? What is it that you don't agree to?
I'm saying, you're saying before they were agnostic, they believed in God, and I don't believe that's necessarily true.
No, I asked, what did they believe in before they became an agnostic?
Probably nothing.
You got to believe in something to have peace of mind.
It don't mean it's God. It could be they believe in trees.
But wait a minute. Let me ask you something. If God has been good to me for 56 years, right, of my life, then I would have to ask the question to a non-believing God, why don't you believe in it? If people's lives has been miserable without God, and demons have held you imprisoned without him, and I'm telling you for 56 years, he's been good to me, and I know his voice, and he know mine. He make things happen for me. What's wrong with totally believing in God?
Well, that is your total belief, and not everybody that don't believe in God is miserable.
Name me somebody.
You're funny. You are funny. So question, I have a question. So if people have all these different demons in them, do you think that maybe one or two demons are stronger than the other ones that are in there?
Yeah.
Question to the masses. And they take over stronger than, you know, the other entities that are in a person?
Well, who's to say that they don't take turns? I mean, it's really basically hard to say. You know, that goes back to the same thing. I mean, it's sunrise and sunset.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a change. You know, we got four seasons. Even though somebody had spoke to astrology earlier that it's not exactly a good thing, but how did the three wise men know about that particular star they followed?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And the change in the seasons. I mean, it's a lot of, well, I'm going too far again, but I don't know.
There's things to think about.
Yes, things to consider, definitely. But the reality is just like what you said and the sister said that was reading something out of the passage out of that book.
McQueen.
When you exchange bodily fluids, it don't necessarily have to be a demon as much as it is the personality trait or the traumas of an individual that somebody laid with, let alone what you've been through yourself, let alone the memory of what our ancestors been through that's coursing through our veins.
Mm.
You know, it's a lot of things to consider. really. I mean, just like going back to the test demic. They said they emphasized on 6 feet to keep that space between you and the next person. Right. So just ponder that. That's basically the distance of your natural auric field, the aura around your body. Just like those religious pictures or saintly pictures that you see. That is what the ancients considered Christ, meaning when you had that halo of gold light around the outside of your aura. That's the anointing. Okay. That's what Christ means. You know, KRST, you could put that in Google, and it'll come up a word from Kemet. But if I'm healthy and you're not, be it you poked up or not, right? They were saying that people that didn't take the poke are more dangerous to people that did. But in reality, just say they might be dangerous to the poke because the healthy aura of that individual who didn't take the poke could assist the aura and the health of the person that did, and therefore their agenda wouldn't be affected. So I don't know. It's something to consider.
I don't know.
But I really, if I may say one more thing, I really feel it's what your governing faculties. If you can so-called get up on the wrong side of the bed, is that a spirit?
It can be. From a night vision or from a multitude of business that you got to take care of and trying to figure out which way to go with it.
Interesting. And as we were talking about before and having all these entities, number four is that people also pick up entity attachments through sex. If you have sex with someone that has a entity or demon, you will absorb that entity into yourself. Stay away from me, y'all. You will basically be making a choice to allow or invite anything within the person's energy field you are having sex to come into you. It is important to understand what sex actually is and what it creates beyond physical pleasure, and to choose the correct people who you want to open yourself to on that level. That's deep right there.
Yeah, it is.
Go ahead.
That's deep. But do y'all know what sex is? Do y'all on this phone really know what sex is? Let me tell you what sex really is. Sex is
in
a
your
production.
Mind, go ahead.
Sex is a productional entity. It's a productional entity. This is where God transfigurates souls from eternity to the earth. That's what sex is, a productional entity. It was never created to arouse emotions. It's only for production. But because of who's doing the production in this entity, that's what makes it so appealing to the heart of mankind.
Rev. Can I be heard?
Yeah, you can. I don't have nobody on mute unless you hear that in your phone.
Okay.
Well,
my point is, if it was just for that one individual purpose, then that so-called quickening, or what they call the orgasm, wouldn't be what it is. See, there's many things about this physical thing called the body that we need to acknowledge. Just like how sugar is basically a drug. So you could talk about weed, all the so-called street drugs. But there's a lot of things in pharmacology also that's not healthy. But the abuse of anything isn't necessarily a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
Sex can also heal. If the intent and the union is pure, regardless of manifesting that third individual or bringing forth a baby, sex can heal also. So it's not a bad thing, you know. So I'm just putting that on the table to say that I don't agree with you in reference to that, you know, because, again, we're supposed to be a little lower than angels or a little higher than angels, whatever the case may be. And there's certain things of this body that we were put, that we chose to come here and to experience. And I'm sure sex is one of them. Maybe the abuse thereof might be, not be the greatest thing, you know. But yeah, I don't think nothing's wrong with it.
Oh, no, no. No, sex is
no,
beautiful.
But no, I'm just emphasizing beyond procreation. Let me clarify that.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond
okay.
procreation.
Okay.
I yield.
You always be yielding. Okay. And you said KRST?
Yes, KRST.
Right.
That's basically because, you know, the Kamites didn't use vowels.
Okay.
So
and
a
I'm
lot of their words.
It means burial is what it means. It says KRST. The K is aspirated like CH. Is an Egyptian word meaning burial. Ancient Egypt, the change from bodily death to future life in spirit was acted as a transformation scene in the mysteries of the resurrection. The mummy or Osiris, I think it is, was an effigy of death. That's all that I've seen so far on KRST. So, you know me, I'm always deeping and delving into stuff, so may have to get more information. But.
What you read, life, if it's a burial, but then mm-hmm. what is the effect does that has to do with life?
Is that Wikipedia?
That is wordnik.com.
Say it again.
Wordnik.com. Wordnik, WORDNIK.com.
No.
I'm trying to get more information. And KRST basically talks about the Unity Center and so on and so forth of African spiritual science, blah, 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 blah. So I'm trying to find more information. This is the images of KRST. Egypt is like Ankh in a different looking cross. But Wikipedia, KRST is a commercial FM station in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That's why I didn't want to go Wikipedia. Follow me. Yeah. So
I got a question, Bob.
Okay.
I got a question for Key. Key, what is a global truth that everybody agrees to?
That you should love yourself.
Key?
Yeah, Key. Key, what is a global truth? You differentiated different truths for different people, but what is a global truth that everybody agrees on that you know of?
Love?
Oh, everybody agrees on love, right? Is that what you said? Is that what you said,
Keith? No.
Huh?
Yeah,
you said
one
love,
of the
right?
things. Mm-hmm.
You said love?
Yeah.
Well, then an agnostic can never know love.
Why would they not be able to know love just because they don't believe in God?
Because love is God.
How do those two things correlate? They can love whatever they believe in. They can have a love for their community and their culture. They don't have to be God.
Wait a minute. An agnostic has no belief in God.
Okay, so what they got to do with love?
Well, love is God.
According to people that believe in God.
No, period.
Okay, well, we'll just agree to disagree. I don't want to debate for another 30 minutes about the nature and aspect of God. Because that is not a reality for everybody. That's a true.
And that is true.
That could be a Bible study thing.
No, but the reality is just like what she's saying. Having affection for that significant individual is older than the Bible or Christian or Christ. You know, there's a lot of things in that Bible that people
I disagree with what you're saying.
And you're not wrong, Rev. You're not wrong. You're not wrong in your eyes. All I'm emphasizing on is the book that most people use is 1611. Even though that book emphasizes something that some people say that happened 5,000 years ago, science has proven that man has been on this planet. Melanated people have been in America longer than 5,000 years. The earth or the civilization or humanity didn't start 4,000 years after the earth or, you know, all of those things that it says in Genesis. We've been here for millions, hundreds of millions of years. Civilizations have risen and fallen. Civilizations have risen and fallen before.
Eddie, let me have a point of order there. If you exclude history, if you exclude records, if you exclude future scripts, I'm a living witness, Ronnie, Reverend Ron. I'm a witness that the God that everybody runs away from is a real God. Now, if the demons are real, and we're talking about them and how they mess up people's lives and afflict people and all this kind of thing. Now, if the demons is real, and I could tell you about experiences from that, I'm telling you right tonight. If the whole world, all the people in the world, if they say he ain't real, you know what I would do? I would denounce everybody because I would tell them, that ain't true.
Okay, can I say something right quick?
Go ahead, y'all.
Sister, nobody didn't say that there aren't people that don't believe in a God or God or whatever, but there are a lot of people that have their own beliefs. Just like prime example, there are people that are Muslims, there are people that are Buddhists, there are people that are, you know, Hindu, you know, I mean, those foundations is older than Christianity. They still govern themselves according to their own calendar because they wouldn't bow down to the Europeans. So does that make that their traditions that's kept their culture thriving for hundreds of thousands of years, does that make them wrong? Because it says in a book that was written in 1611 that the only way into heaven is through Christ Jesus.
Okay, let's use all these nationalities you call out peoples, right? All these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the people were seamen before they came people, right? It's still a part of the production entity. People were seamen before they became people, right?
Not according to what you...
I said people were seamen before they became people, right?
I'm saying not according to what you believe, because according to the Bible, Adam came from dirt. So how was he seeming?
Okay. Well, we'll use it as a form of dirt. man came from the dirt, but somebody turned the dirt into man.
That's according to what you believe, though. That's what you believe.
Not even you. Even
that's
you, where you come from.
That's not the majority of the population.
But wait a minute, Key. Let's say Key, you for instance. How did you come back? How did you come about taking on a heart and lungs and all that? How did it happen?
I'm not a scientist. There's some mechanisms, and I was formed, and poof, here I am.
Hold on a second. Hold on. Let Key finish.
What did you say, Key?
I mean, I'm not a scientist. I can't say 100% certain that, poof, there was a word and there was one man created, and poof, the woman was yanked from that man so he wouldn't be by himself.
No, I said you. I said you.
We're doing this reproductive process so that they could have kids. Then where did all the tribes, the giants, and everybody else came from when Cain ran out the island, the land he was in? If it started with two people, she didn't produce all this whole generation of people. So just because somebody wrote a bunch of words in the book, don't make it law. And because one person believes that God is the all-time being, don't make it so because one person believes it. Native Americans believe in animals, animal spirits, and that they come from animal spirits. So because you believe in God does not mean that is a requirement for everybody else. So you learn about God through somebody else, a man gave you some principles and said, this is the truth living, and that's what you stand on. But that's not everybody's truth in reality.
I stand on personal experience, not when I was taught when I was immature, but personal experience right 22 now.
Okay, well, you didn't just poof this whole belief about God out of thin air. Like, it just dropped in your lap. Like, you just lived this whole wrong way.
Thank God.
You had this
truth. I thank God I had parents that
okay, so my point is learned behavior. That's what I said.
Well, if you don't have God, you're going to learn about something.
Well, I didn't learn
everything
about a bunch of stuff my whole life.
We're talking about STDs, so let's get back on
point. Right.
Mm-hmm. So number five, because we're getting... Number five. As you were talking about being here on Earth, you know, however many thousands of years, as vast beings living for thousands of years, in your terms, making their living, ruling and parenting you, seeking their value from you because you have considered yourself valueless and purposeless. Those who would rule you on the physical and multidimensional planes understand the power of your genitals to create life, pleasure, pain, and death. They use your genitals as doorways without you even realizing it. When you are regridding Earth and changing the frequency so that one by one, lights go on and the fields of energy are established, you must learn how to stop feeding those vampires who suck your energies from the astral planes, from the dimensions, and from on and under the earth herself. Your sexuality and how it is used are the key elements. It is in this very deep part of your regenerative self, your sexual organs, the core of your being, that many of the main problems lie. Because y'all don't know how to act. Problems so dark, so secret that no one would dare speak of them, keep them hidden. They are yet they must be revealed. To relinquish power over your sexual organs is truly to abdicate, which I don't know what that word means, the power of living. I'm about to look it up.
Did you say abdicate?
Power,
what was the word?
Abdicate. Abdicate. A-B-D-I-C-A-T-E. Abdicate. Abdicate. I know, I got to look it up. I will.
Sounds
by
like
power,
a chemic word.
Being a sent, I don't know, probably is. Okay. Cosmetic.
Or attachment.
Of Reverend Ross. It's an attachment?
Attachment.
I'm going to find out. Okay, because Reverend Ron, he's been having these long imprisonate, particularly words that I don't know nothing about. But anyway.
Ooh, it says here, renounce one's throne.
Mm. Which one is that now?
Abdicate. A-B-D-I-C-A-T-E, right?
No, she
correct.
Said Z.
No.
Did you say
what
Z?
He said. No.
Oh, I thought
no,
said.
It's D. D as in David. D as in David.
Oh, no, I thought she said Z. I thought she said Z.
Abdicate?
I thought that's what you said. Abdicate.
I don't even know. I can't even say that word. So,
well,
to release the power over your sexual organs is truly to, what did you say? Relinquish? What'd you say, Eddie?
Eddie? Renounce.
Uh-huh. Renounce the power
renounce
of living.
Renounce one's
throne. Mm-hmm. By power, we mean a sense of connectedness and accountability. The maturity to know when to express yourself sexually and when not to. First, you must make peace with the sexual organs of your being because it is here that life springs forth. And most of all, seek to understand the power of your sexuality. You have power. You have power over your genitals. So to infuse its expression only with love, for sex without love is truly not worth experiencing. This is a long one. Within the sexual frequency, you exchange with one another. So if you are bonding yourself and chemically exchanging with a person who is not of your likeness, you are taking on their garbage. You heard me. You are taking on their garbage because you are exchanging energy quite intimately. Even if you don't want to be with this person, the sexual experience stays with you because you have had an electromagnetic exchange. This subject is deep, y'all. So if you don't like
yes,
the person you're with, you're just screwing around, basically, and getting all these other, you know, energies and entities and everything else. So you're just basically saying, tag, you're it, so come into me. Tag, you're it, come into me. So that's what it sounds like this number five is saying. Are y'all agree on that?
It's beautiful. It is interesting and beautiful because there is a surrender that takes place, you know, for the woman.
You're giving up a piece of yourself.
You know,
it doesn't matter.
Both parties.
Woman or man. Right, right.
Right,
because,
both,
you know,
both parties.
You
can't,
right. You can't have one without the other. When you are intimate with somebody, well, unless you're intimate with yourself, you know, you're not giving up yourself to yourself. Well, that's okay because you're not doing it with nobody else. But when you're giving yourself to someone else, you're taking all that from prior to you being a virgin down the trail, the happy, hoppy trail, with you. So you're taking all those, you know, bags of entities, beings, whatever, garbage, as they say, clutter, stain, strain, along with you. So you need to be choosy in the people who you have choice dealings with, even in life, even if it isn't about sexually transmitted demons. It should be, you know, who you bring to your table, you know, who you let eat, who you can commence with, who you, you know. So these are the same things, same principles. You need to know who you're bringing to your table because they could be, you can be inviting the demons, the devil. And then it's like, man, I didn't expect this meeting to go like this because you invited the wrong people into your surroundings, into your
inner sanctum,
your 6 feet. Yeah, into your, you know, into your aura. And that's a lot of times people say, get out of my aura because I don't like the energy that you're bringing. So I've never, ever, ever had that said to me. So, and that's just, you know, interesting, I guess, because I hope to bring a good aura. But that's number five. That's rather interesting. So anybody have anything, comments on that? Vast beings living from thousands of years in your terms, making their living, ruling, and parenting you?
We survive.
Anybody have anything to say? Yeah, we do survive. And like I said, is there a way to get rid of these? Declutter. And I guess I should probably find out how to declutter your sexual transmitted demons. I know Reverend Lil says, you know, he's Jesus, but not everybody believes in Jesus. You know, not everybody feels that they can go that route to get rid of a lot of things.
But then, why do they still have the problem? Now, they don't believe that Jesus can solve it. Well, then why do they still have the problem? If they could do it themselves, if they had the power themselves to do it, why haven't they made changes? Or why is it that all the people that suffer from these ailments we're talking about, these demons, but then why are all these people still in the same condition? Now, here it is. I'm telling you and y'all and the world that I know God can change your conscience. Now, if I'm telling you I know he can, for me, he's not biased. He'll do it for everybody else. But everybody's saying do it without God. Well, then what you doing without God if everybody's still suffering from the same affliction?
People suffer even with God, so I don't even know why you still saying that.
No, I'm just saying, if...
Is she wrong, Red?
If everything is good without God, then why is everything so bad with the people without him?
And why is it so bad for the people that have him?
No, we that have God.
Let me explain it.
We that have God, that believe in God and have faith and have matured from one level of faith to another, well, with your faith will determine where you are with God, your confidence in God. Now, what you call suffering.
I was just emphasizing what you said.
What you call suffering. He?
Suffering is suffering. It don't matter what I call it. Suffering is suffering. If I were, like, believing like you, the thing is, even in the Bible that you stand on, it says that you will suffer. You can look up the definition and
but
whatever
suffer
that
for cause.
Is that suffering. Jesus suffered. Paul suffered.
Yes, but he suffered for a reason.
Okay.
He suffered for a reason.
Suffering is suffering. So if you
it's the difference.
Your life is not roses and perfect. Your life is not roses and perfect. However you spin it, it's not roses and perfect.
You know what?
Everybody struggle with something, even with God in their life.
Did you hear me say I practice a lifestyle of holiness?
But you saying that people are stuck in this state because they don't turn to God.
Even
the people that turn to God stuck in the state also is the point I'm making.
No, but it's a different kind of suffering.
Okay, well, suffering is suffering. You look up the definition, you ain't going to find 10 different varieties.
Well, yeah, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Of suffering?
Of suffering.
Of suffering?
Yeah. That's different kind of affliction.
When you're, yeah, but when you suffer, you suffer. You just in pain, right?
Oh, look, okay, there's an affliction
that causes suffering, mm-hmm. as well as suffering, pain.
Okay.
Okay, well, when I look up the word suffering, it says state of undergoing pain, distress, or hardship. It do not say you suffered. You have good days, bad days, rosy days, rainbows, unicorns. It don't say none of that. There's one definition. So if people with God can suffer, people that don't believe in God can suffer too. So for some people, Jesus is the answer to everything, even while they're going through hell.
Mm.
So I just don't see why, if I want my life to be just this decluttered in roses, I'm going to go to God and say, okay, take this away. Because the suffering's still going to be there. And that's all in throughout your Bible, too.
Yeah, but there were some victories over suffering.
Okay, but they still suffered. Jesus suffered all the way till he died.
Wait a minute. Hold it. Now, wait. Now, it was different causes that suffering
that's
came.
That's not the point. You said people are still suffering because they don't go to Jesus.
No, I said, people say that they don't need God, right? But then all the people that say that they don't need God, their life is in a mess. Look at the world. Look at the people that don't believe in God in the world. Look at what they do. They pick up guns and they go out and they kill people dead. Now, what person that practiced God, really practiced the lifestyle of God, would even take somebody's life?
And the person that was practicing God could still be on the other end of that bullet. So did it make a difference?
Yes, it did.
No, it didn't make a difference. That person is still dead.
No, they went to life if they was with God. See, life don't stop. Let me run this by you. Let me ask you something, Keith.
You run it by your belief.
Let me ask you a question. Just let me ask you a question, all right? If your life ended tonight on earth, do you know what you would look forward to when you wake up?
Nope. The same way I don't when I go to sleep and wake up the next morning.
No, I ask you a question now. If you don't know where you will be going and life continues on, you probably need to read the Bible because it tells you where you go when you leave the earth.
According to whoever wrote the Bible.
Well, no, the Bible, no scripture is given by anyone.
Whoever wrote the Bible.
No scripture is given by anyone's private interpretation. Nobody's.
Well, that's your belief. Next question I need.
Y'all so funny. We need to just have Bible study with these people who are.
No, this is not Bible study. This is dealing with this demon, this transmitted demon.
No. I know, but I'm just saying we still need to have Bible study with you so that we can go, like, delve deeply into some of the things that you're talking about, like suffering and, you know, some of the things mm-hmm. about people's beliefs and stuff. That's all that I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. Okay, so we got 7 minutes. So, number six. What happened to number six? Sexual chemistry and sexual intercourse itself is also a preferred method of creating a powerful link for psychic feeding. Ooh, that sounds deep. It is very important to not participate in the normalization of sexual behaviors that are not based in mutual respect and deep reverence by marriage. This may sound prudish, but I do think human sexuality is powerful and threatening to the dark forces, and they use normalizing sexual deviance and loose sexual behaviors to destroy people and to prevent the true spiritual potential of humans sexually from being realized and enjoy. There is no comparison when sacred sexuality is honored, realized, and or known. Lower forms of sexuality are those obviously repulsive, low, and degrading to every person involved. Having the good sense to let appropriate boundaries, finding and addressing our blind spots, and past traumas that we talked about earlier, past traumas that create unconscious reactions, and developing the capacity for highly evolved skills of discernment is of extraordinary importance. If we have not addressed our own blind spots and unconscious triggers, or do not have a clear sense of what is really going on, this can be one of the easiest ways that narcissists and entities can use to take and misuse our energy. Narcissists and entities. So we have any comment on that?
Yeah, I'd like to say something right quick.
Go ahead. Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how, even though the topic is about the demons that's being transferred, you know,
mm-hmm.
going back to the story of Job, you know, the angels of the Most High went up to so-called heaven, and so did the
mm-hmm.
devil. What have you to do here, Satan? Walking to and fro in the earth. Spirit world and the physical world have been side by side always. Our ancestors have always paid homage to the ones who came before them, because if it was
mm-hmm.
not for them, we would not be here. There's
mm-hmm.
a lot of things that's always been. Okay, so
mm-hmm.
people who have believed in a lot of things, people have experienced a lot of things. Sometimes we mature to a different belief, and sometimes we retire. Sometimes we work all the days of our lives, and sometimes we retire. There's a lot of things that go on in them buildings called churches, just like there's a lot of things that go on the streets. It's what's in the individual. Just because somebody don't look outside of themselves for something, it
uh-huh.
doesn't mean that
uh-huh.
that person is not a saint. It doesn't mean that that person is not a good person. It doesn't mean that that person does not have their challenges. And it doesn't mean that that person is demon-less.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. Anybody
what
else?
What do you think of that?
Well, what you read,
no.
Sister Inez, what you read earlier, just a moment ago.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It speaks to what I was trying to tell Keith just a few minutes ago. When you talked about the spiritual part, the nature, the discerning of the truth about it, and then when you talked about the error of it, well, it separated. The truth had a more superior piece when you talked about spiritual and creation. You spoke about that in the process of sex. But when it is taken out of a concept that's beneath truth, then it becomes something different.
Okay.
It's not what it was created to be. When it comes into the lower form, as you spoke just then, of humanity,
mm-hmm.
it's not what it was created to be. You spoke about productivity, creation, earlier when you mentioned
mm-hmm.
it. And then
mm-hmm.
at the latter part of your reading, you spoke about the damnation of sex, of what it can do. There is a damnation in sex because of people's ignorance, don't know what it really is or what it really means, or what haven't been revealed to them about what it is. But just understand, sex give us, the reason why we enjoy it so much is because of the oneness that it promotes. Two people
mm-hmm.
can become
mm-hmm.
one. You understand? They can become one. They can intermingle souls. They can intermingle spirits because they are one. They're joining themselves as one. Now, the oneness
of
sex.
But the thing is, right, but the thing is, it's supposed to be for marriage, as they say,
only.
But people outside of marriage, you know, do it and then they have all these entities. So question, if two virgins get married, they don't have to worry about these, you know, negative entities in their life. Because they have never had any other entities enter their body. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Right. Can I say something right quick? Right quick. I promise. Mm-hmm. And I'll go back on mute and I will say nothing. Isn't there a passage in the Bible? Okay. Isn't there a passage in the Bible where it says that King David could get no heat and one of his sons or one of his servants said, let's get a virgin and put her in front of him?
It sure is, yes.
Okay, but it doesn't specify what he did to that virgin, if he did anything. But you know what heat symbolizes, right? In that passage. You know what heat symbolizes?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Defense rest, Your Honor. Have a good night.
Well, just before you go.
No, he didn't marry her. He didn't marry her.
Just before you go.
He didn't marry her.
But they did say what the laying on her of his chest was about. No, it didn't say that they had intercourse, but they brought her to lay in his chest for a reason.
Rev, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're trying to justify folly, bro. You're trying to justify folly, and it's not a good look.
I'm not no such
a
thing.
A woman is a woman. No disrespect, and maybe I shouldn't have said that, and I apologize. But I'm just saying, what difference does it make if she is a virgin or if she is a woman who is not a virgin? If he laid his chest on her, you don't think he laid the rest of his body on her? Come on, man.
No,
please.
They laid her on him.
Okay.
The servants got the virgin, and they laid her in his chest because he couldn't feel heat. So, in other words, David was dying at the time. So the functions of his.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll yield.
No. Go ahead. Finish. You're fine.
I was just sharing with him. They laid the virgin in David's chest because he couldn't feel heat. She was life to him. And they used the virgin because she was the most purest thing. That's just like when they offered sacrifices of oblation. They couldn't take an animal that was blemished. They had to get a unblemished animal before they could sacrifice it unto God. The most pure thing.
Okay. Now, when you were in that mobile home with that woman, you weren't stimulated and you weren't warm in your body even before you touched her? Yes or no?
I'm thinking back to that night, that sensation.
No, don't think back to that night because then you'd be sinning in your mind and you're going to have an interlude and you're going to forget all about the question. What you say, Eddie? What was that question again? You're going to go back? Don't do that. Don't have a kung fu premonition. Remember how kung fu would go back in his mind?
No, I'm talking about just kind of glancing. We were more or less physically in motion. Physically.
No, I'm talking about even before the act took place.
No, we were not. No, we were relaxed. In what they call a delusion of romance. Yeah.
The question was, did you generate your own heat before you consummated with the lady?
No. And I just told you that. No.
You mean to tell me. Well, maybe I'm different. Maybe I'm different. But when I'm into somebody, all right, when I'm into
there,
somebody,
right?
And I am about to get into somebody, you know, the electricity in my body elevates and therefore that vibration brings forth a certain warmth. Or even if it's a desire for warmth. But just like Solomon, David had many wives, right? Did they say that all David's wives were dead? Sorry, Miss Jackson.
Okay, so, okay. Listen. First King, talking about the heat. First King, yeah. 1. Now, King David was old and stricken in years, and they covered him with clothes, but he gat no heat. 2.
Right.
Wherefore his servant said unto him, let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for their damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. The damsel was very fair and cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not.
So that means he didn't have sex with her. But now she brought him life. She brought the king life. Remember it said she ministered unto him, right? Right?
She ministered to him. Mm-hmm. But the king knew her not.
He didn't have sex with her. See, when they mentioned it in the Bible.
Okay, well, suppose that means he knew her not before he knew her. Because they don't get any detail in that book. Just like Galatians 4:24, it says these things are an allegory. It speaks on two daughters. One daughter is bound and the other one is free. Why? Because one daughter had the bloodline or one daughter had the information, right? Where does the word allegory come from in a book that was written in 1611? Is that the Mandela effect? And how come that book, since it's supposed to be from the Greeks, how come that book isn't written in Greek? Does those words that were translated into English, are they accurate?
But it was written in Hebrew. It was written in Greek. It was written in
and
Hebrew. And then the Latins came along. And they changed it to the English version from Hebrew and from Greek.
You said Galatians 4 what? Sorry.
I believe it's 4:24. It speaks on two daughters. Just like I believe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Who was it, Rev,
it
that
is.
Wife couldn't have children, and she had a husband laid with all these
Sarah
different women.
Sarah and Abraham was stricken in age, and Sarah wanted her husband to have a baby, which he had already been promised Isaac by God. But Sarah wanted, because she was so old, she didn't think that she could bear children. You know, she being 99, and Abraham was 100 maybe.
But how many women did he lay with by the approval of his wife before the angel came to her and said that she would bear him a child?
One lady, and that was Hannah, who was a servant in the house of Abraham.
Is that the one that she made Hannah sit on her so she could feel what it feels like to have a baby? That was that one?
I think that was that incident, but I had to really look at that. But I know that she sent her into Abraham so that Abraham would have a descendant, which was Ishmael, which is the father of the Middle East. Really, he's the father of the Philistines. He's the father of the Asmus. All of the people over there. Really, Ishmael is the father of Islam.
And the Philistines were the giants, right?
Abraham, no, the giants were the children of Anak. They were another group that stemmed from the Antinelevans, which were people that made weapons of war for Lucifer. But go back to the point, Abraham
Abraham was the father of Ishmael and Isaac. Isaac was the son of promise, which God promised them in their old age. But Ishmael was the son that Sarah sent her mate into her husband. She willingly done that so that Abraham would have a descendant, a son, which was Ishmael. But when Ishmael had grown, Abraham had Isaac, then there became a discrepancy between Sarah and her maiden that she sent in to her husband. She didn't no longer want her around with Ishmael, the son. So that's when they sent them out to the Middle East. Abraham took them out to the desert and left them, her and Ishmael and his mama, Hannah. And they lived out there, and that's where they formed the nation, because Ishmael was blessed, but he wasn't the child of promise. Isaac was the child of promise. He was the one that God promised to Abraham and Sarah, but Sarah didn't wait because she staggered kind of at the words of God. She didn't really believe that because of her age. She thought she was barren past the child or past the stages of childbearing. And so that's why she sent her maiden into her husband, so that he would have a descendant, which was Ishmael. But Ishmael became a problem, him and his mother, in the house with the child of promise and Sarah, which was Isaac. So that's when the world of out there in the Middle East began. That's when you see all of the different Palestinians, the Arabs, the all of those different people, the Ishmaelites and all of that. It comes from Ishmael. It stems from, and the reason why they are at war, because they never had peace stemming from Ishmael. Ishmael was mad when he became of age to know what happened to him and his mother. So he really never had, no, he was always angry. And he was mad at Isaac. So that's why those
But he was still firstborn, so that's another thing to consider, though, right? Regardless of if his mother was spiritually married or not, because to go into a woman does symbolize a marriage, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, she like I say, she didn't commit adultery or fornication with Abraham. She was ordered, instructed by the woman of the house for the principle of her husband having a descent. But it wasn't the will of God for that to happen. She moved premature out of the will of God. So that goes back to what we were talking about, how people have difference of opinion about what God is and what God should be. Is he real for everybody, or is it just somebody isms or something like that? Well,
fashion.
No.
Yeah.
No. It's God's promises is to his creation. And we just have to be, we have to be impatient to get the perfection of God's promise.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, Doc. I know you're out of time. So.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Taboo. Okay, number 7, and pay attention to who you share your intimate energy with. Intimacy at this level intertwines your oral energy with the oral energy of the other person. These powerful connections, regardless of how insignificant you think they are, leave spiritual debris, particularly within people who do not practice any type of cleansing, physical, emotional, or otherwise. The more you interact intimately with someone, the deeper the connection and the more of their aura is intertwined with yours. Imagine the confused aura of someone who sleeps with multiple people and carries around these multiple energies. What they may not realize is that others can feel that energy, which can repel positive energy and attract negative energy into your life. That is the 7 mysteries. I wanted to get through them because I didn't want to have a part 3 and part 4 and part 5, but yeah. So
We argue so well on your show.
We don't argue. We converse. We converse. But I want to say this thing. It says, hold on. It says, instead of loving a million people one way, love one person a million ways. Instead of loving a million people one way, love one person a million ways. Y'all hear that?
Yeah.
Y'all getting quiet on it.
That's real
and
true, real true.
Says, right. You know, love was James Ingram, find 100 ways. And says, mm-hmm. The cure for sexually transmitted demons, cleanse your mind, body, soul, and spirit of all negative energy. Again, cleanse your mind, body, soul, spirit of all negative energy. Boy, we had one tonight, didn't we?
Isn't that what I told Kia a few minutes ago? I just told Kia a few minutes ago. I said, you got to clear your mind.
No, you said you have to get Jesus. That's what you said.
She did it in shorter terms. You said you got to have Jesus to do all the cleansing and stuff. So we're going to do the round robin. Kia, you want to say anything?
About
sexually transmitted demons?
Oh.
Good. Thank you. Oh.
No.
She enjoyed the conversation. Okay. Reverend Ron?
I say this much right here. The Bible said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. So when them demons try to come up to you in your mind, because now they just speak straight to your mind, tell you the wrong thing to do, you got to resist it. Say, no, I want the truth. I want to go with what's clean and what's right. Do like Reverend Ron do. Practice a holy lifestyle. That's a beautiful life.
Mm-hmm. But you had two demons come up upon you. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got you.
Now, why would
you guys?
How do you know hot if you never experienced cold?
I know.
How do you know cold if you never experienced hot? Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
If there's no fire and no desire,
I'm trying to tell you. Yes, indeed.
I'm trying to tell you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to B. You have anything to say, B?
Oh. All I have to say is this has been the most interesting conversation, and I was like, I don't know if I was in church or a session for Christ, or I was just confused. So, no, not much to say. See y'all Thursday.
Yeah, we may be some anywhere and everywhere. So Thursday, I don't know what we're going to talk about yet. So I'll find something interesting to come up with. But Bro Eddie, with your deep voice. Your voice. What do you have to say on?
Right STD. Right on.
All right, y'all get me.
You
time.
Find
thank you,
some
thank
of
you.
The most interesting topics, Doc. That's why I call you Doc. I appreciate you. I appreciate the experience, and I still stand by every word
everybody.
I said.
And that's your prerogative, you know. That is your prerogative. Because, you know, it's okay to agree to disagree. I just don't want y'all yelling over the thing. And like I said, sometimes if we have to take it to Bible study, we'll take it to Bible study. Because a lot of times with Reverend Ron, we go to church and with the other ministers online as well, you know. And everybody has their way of teaching, speaking, and interpreting things. So sometimes it's good to just get it out.
Indeed.
Because not everybody believes the same thing. And I have a friend who wants to bring on somebody of the Islam community, and he says he's really raw. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, that may be about 4, 5, or 6, or 7 weeks, but that may be coming up in the future. I don't know about the near future, but in the future. So I just appreciate each and every one of y'all coming in and, you know, it says, I said, man, oh, man, this is an interesting topic. I brought this up because a lot of times we don't know why we act the way we act. People say, don't bring the last relationship into this one or any relationship. But as we talked about this evening, baby. You know, so, okay, sister left. So then we wonder how and why we act like we act. And there's this movie called Sybil, and it was with, it's an older movie with Sally Fields. I don't know if y'all ever remember that. But she had, her character had 19 different personalities. So, you know,
many.
No telling what, you know, what happened to her and why she, you know, had these personalities that were in her. But so as we have attachments one to another, how are we going to get rid of ourselves of those demons? I'll let you answer that question. So that's this week. As far as announcements, of course, on Thursday we have Let's Talk About It. Sunday we have, we're not sure of the speaker as of yet, but as we had spoken before, in December we'll have a memorial service for Sharon Salisbury Frazier, and if anybody knows anybody who wants to be on the program, please let me know. They can either call me or email me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. So, of course, support Reverend Ron and his music ministry with his, also with his album that's coming out, and, of course, to keep us on the air, donate, or get a sponsor. You could donate to Cash App, $ANAISEVALCOUR, or to Venmo at the @Miss-Inez, or to Zelle if you know me. We're open to sponsorships. And you can send the sponsor to me at letsdoitradio@gmail.com. Again, I want to thank each and every one of our worldwide listeners for joining into this crazy topic, STDs. Sexually transmitted demons. And so if you got something on your chest, don't keep it to yourself. Join us on Tuesdays and Thursdays until Sergeant Parks comes back. Miss Inez says, let's talk about it, and we could discuss your topic. If nothing else, no one else has anything else to say, I have been your host for the evening. Let's talk about it with Miss Inez, CEO and fashion designer of On Ice After Designs. You can find me the same name under Instagram and Facebook. So look me up and hook me up, as they would say. And I think I already answered this question of the evening. How do you get rid of the demons we face and that are inside of us? And I want you to have that in your mind for next time we meet. So take it off your chest and let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Thank you all for joining us. Have a wonderful evening, and we're going to listen to Tank When We, the clean version. Yes, Lord. When We.
I like it when you lose. I like it when you go there. I like the way you use it. I like that you don't play fair. Yeah. Recipe for disaster. When I'm just trying to sing my best. Yeah. Stroke is getting deep and faster. You're screaming like I'm out of line. Who came to make sweet love, not me? Who came to kiss and love, not me? Who came to beat it up, Rocky? And don't use those hands to put up that gate and stop me. When we touch, when we touch, when we touch. I can be a savage. I just need hugging that pit. When we touch, when we touch. You love it when I lose. You love it when I go there. You love the way I use it. You love it, I don't play fast. You end up calling me master. Say this universe is mine, yeah. When we're done, it's a disaster. Yeah, end up like this every time. Who came to make sweet love? Not me. Who came to kiss and love? Not me. Who came to beat it up? Rocky. And don't use those hands to put up that gate and stop me. When we touch, when we touch, when we touch, when we touch. I could be aggressive, I can be a savage. I just need your blessing, say that I can nap, yeah. Duh. When we duh. Face down, so back it up. Let me get both of them legs and put them both behind your head. Getting deep up in there. Legs getting weak up in there. Yeah, face full of that. Yeah, I'm close, baby, don't push me. This is how it always should be. When we duh. When we duh. When we duh. When we duh. I'll go be aggressive. I can be a savage. I just need your blessing. Say that I can nap. Yeah. When we touch, when we touch.
Good night.